best petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Happy New Year's. Kathy says we got more heaters coming in, and Johnny's been doing a lot of estimates and installs every day. So if you're tired of being cold, give us a call. Toyotomi kerosene heaters and on-demand hot water heaters. We also have a few used heaters for sale with great warranties. Danny's got the delivery trucks working every day, so check your tanks and give us a call. Northern Lights Energy. If you're tired of talking to answering machines and never getting your deliveries on time, give us a call. We don't have a salesman. We just have a lot of warm, happy customers. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, see Joe. In Redding, see Cody. He's the propane king. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, president of Wellgate Sports Club.
And I'm Allie Evers, proud owner of Boheme Spa.
At Wellgate, we're dedicated to building a club focused on improving the quality of your life, which is why we are so excited to introduce our new partner, Boheme Spa.
Thank you, Rich. Both Boheme Spa and Wellgate Sports Club share the same business philosophy and commitment to mind, body, and health. Conveniently located inside the Wellgate Sports Club, Boheme Spa is Reading's premier Aveda concept spa, featuring the complete line of Aveda products and Aveda signature services.
Wellgate Sports Club, in partnership with Boheme Spa, is proud to announce a groundbreaking new membership category called Rejuvenate. In addition to a standard premium access membership, Rejuvenate members receive 2 spa treatments per month from Boheme Spa for the term of the membership.
Reward yourself for your hard work and effort at the club with relaxing and restorative treatments.
Call 768-1205 today. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds. Boy, we're like a race to the wire here. Yeah, it's Sunday once again, and it's January 24th. I'm here in the studio here. My name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again, and you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. I'm in the studio here with my sister Linda, as usual.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, my sound is really high. Let me turn this down a little bit. There we go. Okay, I'm also, she does all the heavy lifting, and she's got glasses, so she can actually see the computer this morning.
I can see. Yeah. Watch out now.
There you go.
Yeah.
We also have our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great guy, Bob Martin.
Good morning, Mark, Linda, and Red.
Good morning.
Good morning. And also, not to be last but not least, we've got Red Smith, who's on the blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time and a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment.
That's it. and the hits just keep on coming.
It just gets better and better, doesn't it?
We were actually discussing at the last hour the new CalSTRS information in their happiness over their $11.5 billion surplus. This word surplus, I don't think it means what the government thinks it means.
Kind of reminds me of the Princess Bride. I don't think that word means what you think it does. Inconceivable.
I would just like to be able to do my own accounting like they do. You know, how you
right. And get away with it.
And get away with it.
That's the best part. To get away with it.
Especially when you're doing your taxes. Let's see. One for me.
Zero.
Yeah, exactly.
Zero for you.
Two for the super PAC. One for me.
Yes. Yeah, I like that.
Anyway, we're streaming worldwide. You're listening to KCNR 1460, and you can go to KCNR1460.com or call in at 530-605-4567. All our shows are podcast and archived as well. And you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. The Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m. at 2570 South Bonneview. And that would be Destiny Fellowship, I think, last time I checked.
It still is.
It still is.
As far as we know.
The Tea Party meets every Monday night, and it stands for Limited Government Fiscal Responsibility and Following the Constitution. I know, what a novel concept in the world we live in. You've also been listening to Jefferson State of Mind. Started at 8 to 9, and that was what Red's... I couldn't listen to Red this morning. I heard that he... Shut up. And I heard that he... I heard that he was getting on a good rant, my usual forte this morning, but I couldn't get my sound on the chat room.
Well, I'm just urging people to understand the power that they have under constitutional authority and quit being afraid to exercise it. That... you know, really kind of what kicked the whole thing off is my kid came home with a school project that was about whether, you know, minors should be charged as adults in crimes. And, you know, I talked to my kid over. And what I try to do with my kid is just ask questions and let her come to the conclusion herself.
Right.
And, you know, so she finally did. And she got all excited about, you know, hey, we don't need a division between adults and juveniles if we follow the constitutional system of a jury of their peers decides whether they're guilty or the law should be nullified, and a judge actually gets to judge the amount of what should happen if we follow the system and get rid of all the mandatory stuff and all the other nonsense.
Right.
So she was all excited to go, you know, talk about it at school, and her teacher basically shot her down and said, yeah, that's all well and good, but that's not how the law applies to the Constitution. And that got me thinking, what do you mean the law applies to the Constitution?
Yeah, the Constitution is the law.
Yeah.
Is the law.
Right.
And then my brain just kind of took it and ran from there.
Well, you know, the quote of the day is, the price good men to pay for indifference to, the price good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. And that's really what it comes down to. If you don't even know how the law applies to you or what the law is or what, you know, constraints there are on government, I mean, it's like the Constitution. If the Constitution isn't the law of the land, then what is? And if that doesn't, you know, have any constraints on the politicians, and it's not the law, then what is? And what are the constraints on the politician? What are the limits on government? If that's not the law of the land that limits what government can do, then what is? And if there's no limits, then they can do anything.
We're in trouble.
Yeah.
There's no limits, we're in trouble.
Well, that's exactly the point. And so it is a problem. And, you know, here's another quote that I always, this is on all my emails, is the two enemies of the people are criminals and government. So let us tie down the second with the change of the Constitution so the second will not become the legalized version of the first. Now, that was Thomas Jefferson. And that's exactly what we're talking about. We've got, you know, the people in power have not been following and we have not been binding them down with
exactly.
The chains of the Constitution. So they have become the legalized version of the first. They have become the criminals, you know, misusing law under color of law. You know, it's like our local guy, you know, I was listening a little bit on the way in and you said, yeah, if these guys don't follow the Constitution, then we need to get rid of them. You know, and it made me think directly of Leonard Modi.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, the Constitution, oh, that's an archaic document that is, you know, not doesn't apply.
And we don't have
it's
to follow.
It's too generic to enforce.
Excuse me. So, you know,
and that's
just,
why we have such problems is
well,
because
exactly
of people
why,
like that.
That's exactly why we have problems.
But we're not doing anything to resolve it.
That's true.
We
fell asleep.
We're doing a lot of talking. We're doing a lot of angry posturing and bloviating, but we're not actually doing anything about it. And, you know, that's not trying to call anybody out or anything in specific. It's, you know, we're in the fight. We're engaged in the fight. We're engaged in so many fights. We're like the little Dutch boy running around sticking our fingers in every hole we can. But it can't be the people just sit back and expect somebody to do it for them. It has to be the people themselves right. as well that are standing up.
Yeah, we have to do it.
Well, that's it. You're going to have to get involved in the process. And I still think it's got to get uglier before people wake up. They're waking up more and more and more because the reason is it's getting uglier and uglier and uglier. And you can't deny it after a while. At some point in time, you got to go, hey, there's something wrong.
Well, I think, too, people now are looking around and seeing there is a lot of people that think the same way as they do. They won't be standing alone.
Well, that's
there's
the
a
other
whole
side.
Lot of us out here.
Well, the media, you know, yeah. The media has been, bought and paid for, maybe. I mean, really.
Over and over again?
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, we have a guest come at 10 o'clock from Oath Keepers.
Yeah, Joe Rice from the Oath Keepers will be on at 10. He has boots on the ground up there in Burns, Oregon, and at the Malheur Reserve. So.
Say that three times faster.
No, thank you.
Malheur. I never could figure out exactly how you pronounce that. Malheur?
Malheur.
Yeah. Malheur.
So, and there's continuing things that keep coming out about that, too. That I think it's going to be interesting. And I think the government's really kind of pushed into a situation where they cannot act on the protesters that are sitting there because it will cause a huge problem. But they also have the problem they cannot allow this protest to continue because the longer that it continues, the more and more light is being shined on what's going on with BLM, what's going on with the state of Oregon and the Hammond Ranch and the Malheur Reserve, because it's starting to come out that this Malheur Reserve is part of Tom Steyer and the Green Pay-to-Play program that took down Governor Kitzhaber.
Well,
you know, for those that don't remember, Governor Kitzhaber of Oregon, he was forced to resign because his girlfriend was taking bribes from multi-billionaire Tom Steyer to ensure that Steyer's companies were getting the green contracts off of things like geothermal energy, uranium mining, different things like this on federal lands in Oregon. And the current governor, Kate Brown, the bloodthirsty little fascist wench that's calling for everybody's blood out there in eastern Oregon and causing provocation of the situation, is under investigation herself for helping to cover up the emails and the evidence of that crime. She's up to her neck in it.
So the proverbial cat could be out of the bag.
Yeah, and the longer that they allow this situation to continue, more and more of this truth is coming out. So they cannot allow the situation to continue. Yet, what choice do they have? Because if they moved in an armed fashion on these people, they got a real big problem.
Well, again, what's happening is the people are waking up. You know, that we need more to wake up, but they're starting to wake up. Mm-hmm. And they're waking up because it's getting ugly. I mean, unfortunately, that's what it takes for a lot of the people to get involved, is that it has to affect them personally somehow. And, you know, or they got to see the writing on the wall somehow. You know, you lose your job, you know, or you can't pay your bills, or all of a sudden you can't support your children. That's really what we're talking about. And it's getting more and more prevalent out there that's exactly, you know, because that's what you get when you get a socialist government. That's what you get when you get a socialist government, which is just one step in the direction of communism, which is what eventually takes over. And, you know, then who are we offering up the Democratic Party? Who's Bernie Sanders?
Oh, no. Hillary was on TV the other day, and she admitted the question, I forget who was interviewing her, asked her about a presidential candidate for socialism or something like that, and she didn't deny it. She went right along with it.
Well, Hillary, I think, has some huge problems.
Well, how far has the Democratic Party fallen that the socialist is the closest thing to an American they have on their ticket?
Yeah.
Well, that's it, and we've got a little clip that we're going to play here pretty quick with PJ Media. I don't know if Bob's got it pulled up there yet, but we can go to a break or something and come back or whatever when we do it. But it talks about, you know, this whole race thing and Hillary and everything to a big degree. And I like Bill Whittle because he seems to come from a perspective that's typically unique. You know, he has a different way of thinking about things. And so, you know, we get that pulled up. Do you want? Should we go to a break first and then come back with that?
Yeah, do you want to run the whole thing when we come back?
Yeah, we'll run pretty much the whole thing.
Okay.
We got plenty of time, and it's very interesting. So, and then we can talk about some stories, get to the top of the hour, and so forth. I don't know if you have any veterans.
Well, yeah, I do. Actually, on February, I'll just go ahead and say it now. Okay. On February, now you got me confused.
Well, we can come back after the break and set that up too.
Yeah. So, okay. Let's do that. We'll go to a break and then we'll come back. This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Well, there we go.
Why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one, but I know that you got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Don't you draw the queen of diamonds, for she'll beat you if she's able. You know the queen of hearts is always your best bet. Now it seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table, but you only want the ones that you can't get. Desperado, oh, you ain't getting no young. Your pain and your hunger, they're driving you home. And freedom, oh, freedom, well, that's just some people talking. Your prison is one. World all alone. Don't your feet get cold in the wintertime? The sky won't snow and the sun won't shine. It's hard to tell the nighttime from the day.
Whether it's a 7-year-old battling cancer, a dad injured in a car accident, or me, a mom of two saved by blood transfusions. Every 3 seconds, someone is in need of blood. You don't have to be a doctor, a firefighter, or a police officer to save lives like mine. Donating blood makes you a hero. Contact Blood Centers of the Pacific at our own Redding Shasta Blood Center, 221-0600.
Hi. I'm Rick Hughes, host of the newest talk radio show heard here on KCNR 1460 AM on the dial. It's called The Flotline, F-L-O-T, Flotline. It'll be heard every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 AM.
Come join me and learn how God has tremendous problem-solving devices that you can use to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. That's The Flatline with Rick Hughes every Sunday morning here on KCNR at 7 a.m.
Get ready for a high-energy evening full of breathtaking acts and heart-stopping stunts when Cirque Ziva comes to Reading. China's Golden Dragon acrobats are returning to Reading's Cascade Theater stage with dance, juggling, acrobatics, and trapeze. It's a show for the whole family with Cirque Ziva, Thursday, January 28th at 7:30. Get tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, we welcome Shelley Gibbs of CareNet. Find out the battle that the pro-life counseling centers are having with the state. Why have they taken sides? Find out Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
I'm an army of
good stuff there. Thanks, Sal, for that. But,
good stuff.
Yeah, you almost want to just keep listening to that. The kind of raises your spirits. The other Desperado, obviously, Glenn Frey, you know, died this last week or so ago.
And they've been dropping, too.
Yeah.
You know, you got Lemmy from Motorhead. David Bowie went.
David Bowie. And then there was another drummer for, I'm trying to remember who it was. It wasn't a, it was a big group, but he was kind of like in the background that you didn't know about.
I also had Mick Gillette from Tower of Power in the past week.
Oh, wow.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The lead trumpet, and Natalie Cole died at the
first
of the year.
Oh, Natalie Cole, too. Yeah, wow. Yeah. So there's been a few. Well, I don't know.
They're getting up there in age, too.
Sign of the times,
still.
I guess. I don't know.
No.
Wow.
Yeah, it's coming. God's getting the band together.
They're playing some great music at the Pearly Gates, huh?
Yeah, we're going to get the band back together. It sounds like a Blues Brothers there or something. Yeah, we got to go see the Penguin.
Yeah, we got a half tank. We got a full tank of gas and a half pack of cigarettes. 106 miles to Chicago. Let's do this.
Yeah, you know. One of the stories I got to get out there is, and I was looking at it right here, and here it is. This is from the Fox Insider. I'm sure a few people have heard this week, but, the title of the article is, "We're the Two Dumb," I don't know if I can say asses, but I'm going to, "We're the Two Dumb Asses," pot traffickers that called 911 on themselves.
Yeah.
This is like right out of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure or something. You know, I mean, it's like you can't make this crap up. These two guys get high on their
Harold
own drugs.
And Kumar.
Yeah. Yeah, we got 22-year-old Leland Ayala Dolente and Holland Sward traveling from Las Vegas to Montana with more than 20 pounds of marijuana in their car, according to East Idaho News. They call 911, apparently thinking the cops are already on them in pursuit. Now, how do you think the cops are already on you in pursuit?
Smoke a little more, my friend.
I mean, this is a quote from the 911 call. "We're the two dumbasses that just got caught trying to bring some stuff through your border, and all your cops are just driving around us like a bunch of jack wagons. And I just like you guys to end it all." It's like, what? "If you could help me out with that, we would just like to get on with this." You know, I mean, so anyway, I just can't believe that anybody would call the cops on themselves because they got so high on their own product. But, hey, you know, it takes a village of idiots.
My question is what came across the border behind these two idiots while they were creating this distraction?
Yeah, good question. You know, unbelievable. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, they're just circling around us like a bunch of jack wagons. Can you go ahead and pull us over already?
Please take us into custody now.
I think that pot was laced with something a little more than THC. Anyway.
Hey, when's the last time you slept, kid?
Yeah, we need that roll another one. Just like the other one. But,
unbelievable.
You've been hanging on to it, and I sure would like a hit. Boy, tell you what. And I mean, that's part of the problem right there. When people are so high that they can't even tell the police are after them, I'm pretty sure they're not politically involved.
Probably so. Not.
So with that, let's run. Yeah, Bob's doing his usual.
You want to get high, man? Just how they do, they got wooden balls, man.
I got a joint here, man. I've been saving for a special occasion.
Let them fire up.
Hey, I hope the drums don't mess up your upholstery, man.
Nah, I'm in a band too, man.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm a lead singer, man.
Ah, that's hip.
Yeah, we play everything from like Santana to El Chicano, man. You know, like everything.
That's from the 911 call.
I'm just a love machine. For nobody but you. Open my ship with your eyes, and then I go for her thighs. And then I say, guacamole in my shoes. Guacamole in my shoes.
Hey, you said it just like Jeb Bush. Almost.
Hijo de la chingada.
Guacamole.
Yeah,
it's guacamole. Yeah, crazy stuff. Just absolutely off the charts crazy. Let's go ahead and key that Bill Whittle up and listen to that, because I find that rather interesting, the topics of the GOP race and what's going on. And I think they got some pretty good points on, you know, attacking each other. You know, it's kind of crazy.
It's like watching reality TV.
It really is.
It is. It's become a freaking game show.
And it goes to show you, though, what the media is there to do.
Yep. Distract and deflect.
Divide and conquer.
Never.
You ready?
Not their job.
Well, go ahead and play it, Bill, and then Bill, play it, Bob. We'll listen to Bill.
Play it again.
Just made a point. Jeff, you'll be a lot more secure.
Well, I am here because, like you, I know that it is now or never. I'm in it to win it because we believe in America and we love our freedom.
Donald Trump just got Sarah Palin's endorsement, helping him secure his right flank against Ted Cruz in Iowa. Bernie Sanders is polling 27 points. That's right, 27 points ahead of Hillary Clinton in New Hampshire, just as news came in earlier this week that Clinton's private and unsecured email server contained information classified above top secret. Whispers about indictment are growing louder almost by the day. So I have to ask, is the 2016 primary race all over, except for the voting? I'm Steve Green. This is Trifecta. And with me to answer that question and more, Bill Whittle and Scott Ott. Chance, I've been watching politics since 1980. I've never seen anything like this. The Republican field began with 16 candidates. Only a few have dropped out. And yet in almost every poll, one name towers. Trump. Ted Cruz has still got a small lead in Iowa, but Palin has hit the ground there for Trump. And anyway, Iowa voters have a terrible record of picking winners for the GOP. Now, Bill, even the GOP establishment seems to be coming around to the idea of candidate Trump and has taken out the long knives against Cruz, who at this point seems to be the only thing even remotely close to a challenger. Is it time to just acquiesce and learn to enjoy the inevitable?
No, that's why I'm having, I get so wound up about so many things, but for some strange reason, I'm just sailing along with this one. It's like, I don't have to make my own personal decision till the California primary, and I'm just kind of watching how the winds are blowing. I've never seen anything like it. I do have a dog in this fight, but it's Ted Cruz, but it's not like, you know, hey man, this is my dog, and, you know, and the rest of you can go to hell. I just want to say a couple things about this nutty, weird, bizarre primary thing. First of all, if the GOP establishment is ready to bring out the knives against Ted Cruz and they're comfortable with Donald Trump, it says an awful lot about what Donald Trump means to the GOP establishment. And we three generally don't like the GOP establishment all that much on account of them being crony capitalists and inside the beltway big spenders and all the rest. I am really surprised about the Palin thing. I'm surprised and disappointed about it, frankly. I mean, you know, you have a Tea Party candidate in this race. You got a couple, really. You got Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. And for Palin to come out and endorse Trump is just kind of a mystery to me, really. And people have said she's anti-establishment, but, you know, it just kind of completes the disappointment I felt in Sarah Palin pretty much since I remember when I really lost a lot of confidence in her was when she resigned for being governor of Alaska. I mean, there were a lot of lawsuits and all the rest of it, but I thought, really, you know, you had a great record in Alaska and you're just going to go? Okay. That really took a lot of the wind out of myself. So that there's that. And the other thing I want to say is this. Look, the only thing I'm really concerned about right now, Steve, seriously concerned about, is the level of vitriol that I see on Facebook among Republicans regarding other Republicans. I'm seeing people saying, I will not vote for Trump and all of his supporters are Trump-tards and all the rest of it. And then Ted Cruz is a criminal, you know, Marco Rubio is a plant of the Communist Party. It just never ends, honestly. And it's time, I think, we just need to back down a little bit and say, listen, I think the one thing we can agree on, even if Trump is Hillary Clinton's best friend, he's better than Hillary Clinton is. And he's certainly, if it comes down to a billionaire and a communist, and both of them are barking mad egomaniacs, I'll take the billionaire. So let's just back off a little bit. Let it cool down. Somebody, I think it was Scott. It was either you or Scott. I've forgotten which. You're indistinguishable to me. But one of you guys said on the show that, you know, in a scrimmage, we play hard and we hit hard. But the purpose of a scrimmage when you're playing your own team is not to take your quarterback out for the season. Somebody's going to be the quarterback, right? Was that you, Scott? I think it was you. Anyway, yeah, let's just back off a little bit. We have votes, and votes speak louder than words, and we're getting to that point in the election finally where things get down to what really matters.
Bill, this will blow your mind. I'm going to see if I can remember this correctly. On Twitter this week, a New York Times reporter noticed that, let's see if I've got this right, Trump supported Bill Clinton, who ran with Al Gore, who ran with Joe Lieberman, who endorsed John McCain, who selected Sarah Palin, who just endorsed Trump. Yeah, I got that.
And the circle
right.
of life is complete.
Wow.
The circle of life.
It really is. It's a nutty year. Scott, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of any of the GOP contenders, anyone you want. It's your choice. So which candidate do you choose, and where do you make your stand against Trump, or is there a stand to be made?
I don't want to do that. I don't.
Coward!
I don't want to have anything to do with this presidential field. Oh, my goodness. I mean, if there were a decent person among them, who do we think that is now? I mean, coming in, there were a lot of people we thought, wow, we've got a really good field here.
Yeah.
I mean, Senator Cruz, we got Senator Rubio. Even if you didn't like his politics, we had a decent person in Jeb Bush. We had Carly Fiorina and Ben Carson. Who didn't like Ben Carson? We loved them all when they came in. Now they're all louts and scoundrels. I mean, everybody hates everybody. And, there's this great scene. I just got done reading in the Old Testament. There's this great scene where Gideon is told by the Lord to reduce the size of his army as he's going up against this huge enemy army. And he said, I want you to reduce the size of the army to the point where you can no longer take credit for the battle, that you will know that the Lord has delivered you. And then Gideon, with 300 men, comes out against tens of thousands of people at night with torches and clay jars. And they smash the clay jars and they just start yelling. And the enemy army, in confusion, kills itself. So they all rise up in the middle of the night and they start sticking swords at each other. And I think that that's what has been done to the Republican field at this point. I think that the media and even to a certain extent Donald Trump has encouraged this self-slaughtering cycle so that by the end of it, there won't be a decent person left standing, even if he or she is the nominee.
Can I just say, as a lifelong Israelite, I think Gideon is weak on immigration. I think Gideon took money from the Pharisees. And I will vote for Augustus before I'll vote for Gideon.
Yeah, that is modern politics right there. All of these decent people, everybody hates everybody now. And we haven't even held a single vote. We're not even to Iowa yet. All right, let's look at the Democratic side now. Bernie Sanders, he's within striking distance in Iowa. I think he's had in a couple of polls. He has what looks like an insurmountable lead in New Hampshire. But what Clinton has is what looks like her own insurmountable 20 to 40 point firewall in South Carolina, after which she probably breezes through Super Tuesday. And yet The Hill reported on Thursday morning that Clinton is worried enough about the Burnmeister to call in her heavy hitters, elderly husband Bill Clinton, even more elderly former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, if anybody other than us remembers who she is, New Jersey Senator Cory Booker, and Lena Dunham, star of a recently canceled HBO series which never once attracted more than 500,000 viewers. Bill, just how heavy are those hitters?
Well, I think we can say that Hillary Clinton has deployed the biggest names of, 2003 to get into this fight and show the progressive campaign at its very, very best. The fact that she's playing these cards this early means they're terrified, and she is terrified. And listen, she may have a 40-point firewall or a 30-point firewall or a 20-point firewall in North Carolina, but that firewall may have a couple bars in the window, and she may be on one side looking out because she may be in prison. I'm beginning to think more and more. Well, look, this latest thing that you led with, Steve, the fact that she has information on her server was found to be in excess of top secret, special operating procedures or something like that.
SAP,
SAP, sorry, yeah. And the investigator had to have some of his people have their clearances raised because they couldn't look at these emails because they were so top secret. It's no longer a question of whether Loretta Lynch will deign to prosecute this thing. If Hillary Clinton doesn't go to jail or at least face charges, then not only, I think, will the CIA, the FBI, and the NSA revolt in mass, because how are they ever going to get a prosecution in the future if she simply walks? I think if you have a situation where the top Democratic nominee simply walks away from these kind of treasonous charges that people like General Petraeus did 1% of and paid very heavily for. And Dinesh D'Souza goes to jail for a year because some minor campaign issue. I think if Hillary Clinton walks, then as Roger Simon said, you may be facing a walk out of the middle. The big part of the country in the middle that pays their taxes and runs this whole scam may just say, no, there's no law anymore. Forget it. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not playing anymore. You know, if the top person in the country is Her Majesty, and Her Majesty, the Duchess of Mordor, or wherever she comes from, is simply able to walk away from these legal charges, then we don't live in a republic of laws anymore. So, no, forget it. Not doing it. I don't know what to say about this other than I'd rather run against Bernie than Hillary, and I think I'm going to get my wish.
Oh, the Duchess of Mordor. I'm stealing that one, buddy. Scott, I don't see any way for Sanders to capture enough of the black voters he needs to overcome Clinton's firewall in South Carolina. But I also can't see how Democrats, members of the world's oldest political party, can entrust their nomination
sure
to
is.
Somebody who should be, yeah, who, oh, well played, Bill. How can they entrust their party's nomination to somebody who should be facing a jury of her peers rather than facing primary voters? So if you're a Democrat in Iowa or South Carolina or Nevada, who do you vote for, the socialist who probably can't win in November or the potential felon who could be behind bars in November?
I think that firewall exists as long as Hillary Clinton is the presumptive nominee. If anything should happen to endanger that, whether because of her own failures or because of a stunning rise in the polls, such as at least one poll, the CNN WMUR poll in New Hampshire has indicated, if anything happens to endanger that, I think you see the voters in South Carolina completely flopping the other way because they don't really care about Hillary Clinton. There's no love for Hillary Clinton. They may have loved Bill at one time, but there's no real love for Hillary Clinton. What there's a love for is the Democratic Party, which is the source of succor and employment for so many people. And so I think that Bernie Sanders has an opportunity if his result in New Hampshire is anything like what that poll indicates. Now, both sides, by the way, the Clinton camp and the Sanders camp, are poo-pooing that poll and saying it's probably not as good as it looks like there. And so, you know, we'll see if a couple more polls come in and indicate the same thing. So I don't think that it's over for anybody yet. And I do know that Bernie Sanders has a problem when it gets into the later states where he's got no on-the-ground organization. So he will have to live off the fumes that Barack Obama did, which is his star power, his celebrity. But Obama had the ground game and the data game as far as the, manipulating the data and being able to do direct mailings and things like that. So somebody's going to have to come alongside of Bernie. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was some of Barack Obama's old buddies who do so.
Oh, I hadn't seen that one coming. Wow. A shiv late in the game. Folks, as I've written before at vodkapundit.com, and I might have said here on PJTV, if Trump is the GOP nominee, despite my many policy differences with him, despite my worries about his temperament and his continuing willful ignorance on vital issues like our nuclear triad, I will still vote for Donald Trump on Election Day because even with all that, he's still a better choice than anybody the Democrats seem likely to nominate. Except maybe for one person, the one man who might be able to save the Democrats from themselves.
Don't say
he's
it.
He's tanned. He's plugged, and he might just be ready to run.
Don't say it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they showed a picture of Joe Biden in his
Joe
sports
Biden.
Car open top. Yeah, he's tanned, he's plugged, he's rested, he's ready. Joe Biden. Screwed up? Maybe.
Just a little.
Yeah, I just want to know who Sauron is. You know, like Jimmy in the chat room says, you know, who's Sauron? If Hillary's the Duchess of Mordor, you know, is Sauron Bill or Soros?
George Soros. Rothschilds?
Who is Sauron? I mean, who's the evil eye in the tower? You know, I mean, good grief.
I think Bill would be Wormtongue.
Wormtongue.
He would be.
Well, they certainly have an army of orcs, don't they?
They do.
Yeah, it reminds you of the song, where there's a whip, there's a way. But, yeah, I digress. So, anyway, that little clip was so full of stuff that, you know, it's just unbelievable. where do you start? I mean, are we killing ourselves, or the media is the media trying to divide and conquer the conservative movement?
Well, they are, and I don't know what to what extent it's working. You know, because I see a lot of the infighting that's going on in the Republican Party and beating each other up, but in a way, it's like a bunch of brothers knocking each other around for who gets seconds at the table, and they may beat each other up, but I don't think anybody's coming in from the outside and getting those seconds.
So you don't think that there's any independents going to be, moving over to the Burn Club, feeling the burn?
No.
Yeah, I feel the burn all right.
I don't.
Some preparation H for that, though.
I think maybe it's a necessary cleansing of the Republican Party. And, you know, as we've said all along, what we think of Trump one way or the other, the fact that he has exposed some of these people for what they are and exposed the duplicity and hypocrisy in the Republican establishment, I think has been a well-needed and good cleansing.
Yeah, it's been worth the price of admission, you know. He's talking about Ted Cruz and these loans from Goldman Sachs, and that does concern me because I'll tell you what, if you get to the bottom of the problem on this whole thing, it seems like there's a banker staring back at you every single time.
There's one thing that I would like to point out about those loans, and this is not in support of Ted Cruz, this is just truth. Those were equity loans. They gave him margin loans on stocks that he owns and loans that are secured by equity that he has in his law firm.
Well,
it wasn't a campaign contribution. They were actually loans like anybody else would go to a bank and take out a loan.
Well, I'm not sure how true it is because I haven't had time to do the research, but his wife works at Goldman Sachs.
Which is troubling.
And she was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations was the last time I heard it as well.
Extremely troubling.
And that, because Cruz was kind of like my guy, second to Trump. And, I mean, my guy is Rand Paul, but the media won't let him in. They're blacking him out just like they did his father. You know, the only one that really talks true liberty, the Constitution, mm-hmm. in my opinion. The rest of these guys say they're going to solve all these problems. But when was the last time you heard Trump invoked the Constitution, other than the Second Amendment? I'm having a hard time thinking of it. He's got my vote, like I say. We're not going to, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater, but it is troubling. And, you know, the thing is, are we going to have a bunch of executive orders on the other side? This is what the troubling mm-hmm. aspect of this is that instead of following the Constitution and limiting government, are we giving more power into the executive branch? And so that's the real issue. I think people are waking up to the fact of what the real issues are, and so I think we're going to get this ship righted, and we're working on it. You know, and you got campaigns like the State of Jefferson out there, and that is getting more and more traction by the day.
Well, the thing that concerns me is the Democrats aren't scared. They're not nervous. They're not. And, okay, if your lead candidates are a 100,000-year-old socialist that can't win, and somebody that's a couple days away from going to prison, and you're not nervous, what plan do they have? Who do they have waiting in the wings that's going to come and save the day?
Well, maybe a collapse of the economy, martial law. I don't know. I mean,
these are not people that
George Soros and the voting machines?
There you go. Yeah,
well, these are not people that surrender power lightly. And for him just to go, oh, okie doke, you know, we got a criminal and a socialist that doesn't have a shot in winning, and we're okay with that. We'll see you in 4 years. That's not the Democrats, and that makes me nervous.
I'm pretty sure Joe's going to save us. I mean, Joe Biden for president. Who's his running mate? I mean, Joe and Bernie. Bernie and Joe. It's like, what? Biden and the burn?
Jerry and Joe.
Jerry and Joe?
Jerry and Joe.
What's, I don't know, Biden and Sanders for economic hell. I don't know. I mean,
how about Brown and Biden?
Brown and Biden. Well, Brown
Biden.
Biden Brown. I don't know. I mean, so I'll tell you what. Interesting year. I mean, and this is the primaries. This is when you want to choose your candidate. This is when you want to back your guy. You know, I'm still going to vote for Rand Paul at this point unless something changes my mind. Just because. You know, in the primaries, you back the guy that you need to. And after the primaries, it's a different story. You know, if our guy is Trump, I mean, who are you going to vote for? Bernie?
Well, that's, again, this is why the Democrats' lack of interest or concern concerns me. I mean, essentially, they're running Mr. Magoo and the Whore of Babylon, neither of which have a chance of winning, and they're not worried about it.
At least we don't think they have a chance of winning. They shouldn't be winning, but we've heard that before, too.
Well, I don't know if the Whore of Babylon, I'm sorry, Hillary.
Whore of Babylon.
I like the Duchess of Mordor better. But I'm not sure if she's even going to be in the race because, you know, I'll tell you what, if she's in the race, then it doesn't matter anyway. I mean, it's over because there is no law.
Well, yeah. But that's the problem. She should have been indicted a long time ago.
If she gets elected, can she grant herself clemency?
In theory, yeah.
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 If she gets indicted, can Obama grant her clemency?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, crazy stuff. I like what Jimmy says in the chat room. You know, if Bernie Sanders gets elected, then we could have Bernie Madoff for the Secretary of Treasury.
Why not?
What the hell? It's all a big Ponzi scheme anyway. I mean, why not? Who cares? You know, we don't care about law. What does the law have to do with it anymore? I mean, it doesn't matter. What does it matter?
Well, I think they hit something there, too, is when he said if Hillary Clinton does not get indicted at this point, the middle of America, the people that actually fund and float this whole charade, are done. I think they're done.
I mean, we're getting to the point where people are saying don't comply anyway.
Right.
I mean, just like what, you know, Bill Whittle's saying, why should I follow the law? You're not going to follow the law. I mean, this goes back to the fundamentals of the law. This is the Magna Carta stuff where, you know, they put the Magna Carta together and told King John to sign the Magna Carta in 1215 AD. And he said, why should I do that? Because if you don't, we'll cut your head off.
Yeah.
It's a good close. So, you know, at the 90.
So would always be closing.
Yeah, I mean, so the real deal was, you know, and you know, there was, you know, Cromwell. The argument was: is the king the law, or is the law is law king? I mean, lex rex. Is the king the law? In other words, the king can do whatever he wants, and he makes all the laws. He can take your property anytime he wants. You know, he is the law. Or when he signed the contract, because if he didn't, they were going to cut his head off. What that did was that limited his scope at that point. That said, the law is now above the king. Mm-hmm. And that was the big fight for freedom. That's part, you know, that was a big step in the process of us being able to have liberty and property rights. And we're going to reverse all that. We're going to reverse all that now at this point and say, no, it doesn't matter what the law says. It matters what the Duchess of Mordor and Sauron and Obloho, I mean Obama, say. Everything else doesn't matter. It's just what they say. Executive order, do whatever you're told. Well, at what point in time do you think that that's going to end badly?
It's ending badly now.
I was going to say, we're already there.
We're starting to watch the car wreck in slow motion.
Well, and we go back to the sign where there's a whip, there's a way, because that's where we're turning. Get back to work, shut up, and if you get out of line, you know, you get whipped one way or another. We take all your property or we put you in prison because you are a rebel. That's one of the platforms of the Communist Manifesto, by the way, confiscating all the properties of the rebels. Wow, and central banking and government education and government control of transport. Wow, what plan are we following at this point?
I don't know. You can pick up this little red book. It tells you all about it.
Oh, yeah. I think that you're referring to the one that was dedicated to Lucifer.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the plan we should follow. That's a good one.
Or the little red one that came from Mao the Deflower.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kim Jong-il's handbook.
Yeah, he's a good guy, too.
Yeah, Kim Jong mentally.
They were all great guys,
Yeah, so there you have it. You know, let's follow those guys because they were really stellar.
That's what we were kind of, you know, talking about earlier, too, is it's getting to the point where people are not going to comply. And as you were saying, is, you know, the law is the supremacy of the land. The law has to be supreme above all.
Right.
And the law does not dictate the contract. The contract is the law.
Correct.
And that law has to be applied equally for everyone, or there's no deal.
There's no deal. That's exactly right. And that's where we're ending up, is no deal, because we're not following the law anymore. So, yeah, we got about 1 minute here before the top of the hour. And then I guess let's go to a break, and then we'll come back, and I think we'll see if we can get our guest on the line.
Yeah.
Who's Joe Rice?
That'll be Joe Rice of the Oregon Oath Keepers up there with Boots on the Ground and Burns.
Before we go to the break, I want to let people know on February 11th, there's Veterans Appreciation Day at Parsons Junior High School, yeah, at 8:45 in the morning. So that's on February 11th. This has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
Stay tuned for hour number two of Sovereign Minds here on Community Talk Radio for the North State, KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. The East Coast starting to recover from a major snowstorm, but it'll take some time for air travel to get back to normal. More than 11,000 flights have been canceled between Friday and Monday. United Airlines has very limited operations at Newark and other New York City metro airports this afternoon, while airports in the Washington area expected to remain closed today. FlightAware.com CEO Daniel Baker says there are few flights departing and arriving from airports in the Northeast.
We are optimistic that we'll see some flights this afternoon, this evening, but it's going to be a small number of flights. For the vast majority of people who are planning to fly to, from, or within these airports today, their flights are very likely to be canceled, and the airlines are really shooting to have a better day on Monday.
A stretch of the Pennsylvania Turnpike still closed, but Governor Tom Wolf says officials hope to have traffic moving again by mid-afternoon. About 20 tractor trailers remain on the closed stretch of road. The Obama administration wants to expand the federal Pell Grant program to help more low-income students graduate from college. Here's Greg Clugston.
The Education Department has announced new proposals to expand Pell Grants by $2 billion in the new fiscal year. The administration's proposals would provide students with more money to attend classes year-round and reward them for taking more credits. They'll be part of President Obama's budget proposal next month. Pell Grants are for low-income people, and they don't have to be repaid. Greg Clugston, Washington.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry headed to Asia today, planning stops in Laos, Cambodia, and China. Laos, the current head of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, whose members are becoming more vocal in complaints about China's growing assertiveness over competing claims in the South China Sea. The AFC game today, New England and Denver at 3:05 Eastern Time. The NFC showdown, Arizona and Carolina at 6:40 Eastern Time. After today, we'll know who plays in the Super Bowl. Townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy, for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health issuing company and other factors, not available in all states.
Rector of the Heritage Foundation tells the Salem Radio Network that the United States government's war on poverty has been terribly expensive over the past half century.
Adjusting for inflation, the war on poverty over the last 50 years has cost about three times as much as all military wars in U.S. history. From the Revolutionary War to the present.
Rector says the government's welfare system has not succeeded in achieving President Lyndon Johnson's goal of making people self-sufficient. A family friend says larger-than-life Nashville political figure John J. Hooker Jr. has died at the age of 85. He'd been suffering from melanoma, spent his last days fighting to make physician-assisted suicide legal in the state of Tennessee. Hooker was the Democratic Party's nominee for governor of Tennessee in the 1970 and the 1998 races.
Many people in Nashville remember him for his Mini Pearls Fried Chicken franchise. More details can be found at townhall.com. More than 40 groups are urging Senate leaders to pass a long-term extension of a ban on internet taxes.
The coalition has sent a letter to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid, urging them to make the tax ban permanent on internet access. The issue is coming before the Senate as part of the customs bill and would extend the ban already passed by the House. The ban was first implemented in 1998 and prevents most state and local governments from adding taxes onto the monthly bills that customers pay for their internet access. The ban has been extended several times since it was first passed. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
A former Chicago police deputy superintendent who left to head police departments in Washington, D.C. and in Philadelphia, he's returning to Chicago to help make changes to the police force. Mayor Rahm Emanuel's office says Charles Ramsey will be senior advisor to the department, and he will help guide civil rights reforms. More analysis on this story and much more at townhall.com.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
By now, I'm sure you're aware of the many advantages solar energy offers you and your family. Clearly, solar is finding its way into our everyday life. Hi, my name is Sue Blake of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we've been installing solar systems on North State homes since 2003. It's important to know that all solar is not the same. As a solar contractor, we partner with SunPower because having just celebrated their 30th anniversary in the solar industry, they have a proven track record. SunPower is an American solar company which developed and patented the industry's most efficient solar cells and solar panels on the market for a complete solar energy solution. There are many cost-effective solar packages available, some starting for less than a cup of coffee a day. And we want you to have the information you need so that you know of all the solar options available for your family. Experience and commitment to quality. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic
stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight. Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am American. That's what I
Welcome
am.
Welcome back. Sovereign Mind Radio. We're in the second half.
Second hour.
Second hour, anyway.
It's like a hockey game. It's the second period.
Yes.
Number two period.
You know, I often wish life was like hockey. You just skate as hard as you can, try as hard as you can, hit as hard as you can. And if you break the rules, you go sit in the box for 5 minutes, and then you come back out and go back to playing.
If you don't like somebody, you take your hockey stick to them.
Well, you're going to have to sit for 5 minutes, yeah, but, you know, that's fair.
Sometimes it's worth it.
Yeah, sometimes it's well
sometimes
worth it.
It is.
Yeah, it did. Take a hockey stick to him. Yeah, it's wow. You know, it's just the hits just keep on coming. There's so much news coming in right now. We can't keep up with it all. I mean, it seems like the world is coming to a head, if you will, using a metaphor. It's just crazy right now what's going on out there. You know, we got the Oregon thing that we're trying to get a hold of our guest. He's not there yet at this point. Who knows what's happening up there?
I know that the situation's very fluid and very liquid. We started hearing reports last night that the federal agencies were beginning to arrive in force. And Philiptown, you know, that's we're hoping to talk to Joe here and get some things confirmed. I've heard reports that the courthouse and the sheriff's office in town have been cordoned off with chain link fence. We've seen images coming out of the airport there where they're starting to set up military barracks tents. They're basically beginning to militarize their situation out there, which is troubling, although there have been talks proceeding between Ammon Bundy and the FBI trying to find a negotiation to this. But in the middle of it, you have the good little fascist Kate Brown, who's terrified that she's going to be found complicit in the Kitzhopper corruption scandal because she protected the government by instructing her Secretary of State to hide emails and try to stop emails from coming out about the corruption and the things that were going on. She's terrified she's going to be found implicit as more and more of this information comes out. So she's trying to destabilize the situation and escalate it because she can't afford to have these guys sitting out there. But they are having a dialogue, and there are two things. You know, the Ammon Bundy and his group have a list of demands, and two of them that he said he will not budge on is number one at the top of the list is Steve and Dwight Hammond come home.
Right.
They will not be allowed to rot in prison for something they didn't do. And the second one is that the Malheur Reserve and the Visitor Center and all of that will be turned over to the people of Harney County, as it should be constitutionally, and will no longer be controlled by the federal agencies. That it will be controlled and applied for direct use of the people of Harney County.
Well, and on top of that, we have this new information coming in that you were showing me a few minutes ago on the Clinton Foundation took massive payoffs, promised Hammond Ranch. This comes from Intel, IntelHub.com, posted yesterday. The Clinton Foundation took massive payoffs, promised Hammond Ranch and other publicly owned lands to Russians, along with one-fifth of our uranium ore. You know, the Whore of Babylon shreds the Constitution, exposes an ultimate backer of U.S. Land grab. Man, I mean, how much more can you? It's like, what is going on?
Well, it does. It gets into it, and a lot of the things that we've been digging through at the Lantern, and the more we dig, the more we find, and it's almost where does this rabbit hole end?
It doesn't.
Because we've found links between geothermal companies and these different agencies that are tied to the Clintons, that are tied to Jerry Brown, that are tied to Kitzhopper, that are tied to Tom Steyer and his money, that are tied to these Russian corporations, American corporations like Hermitage that are under indictment right now for committing Russian tax fraud. And it's this massive global scheme and criminal organization on a scale that I don't think has ever been seen. And if you were to bring all of the pieces out, I think most people would look at you like you were a two-headed goat. That you were just, because basically you're running around shouting, hey, it is all of these guys. They're all interconnected. This whole thing is interconnected. And the Malheur Reserve was part of the Steeds Mountain Reserve that was an expansion by Bill Clinton when he was in office. Okay? Now, after he was out of office, in operating the Clinton Foundation, there was a Canadian company that was negotiating for uranium rights out of places like Oregon and Wyoming and things like that, that contributed $2.3 million to the Clinton Foundation and Bill Clinton. And these deals, these uranium deals, were expedited by Hillary Clinton, who was then Secretary of State. And it turns out that this Canadian corporation was really Uranium One, which is a Russian corporation.
Wow. That's all you can say. I mean, that's insane.
Well, it's treason.
It looks pretty well documented, though, from this article. I encourage everybody to go to the Intel Hub, or we'll be writing a story at ShastaLantern.com.
And nobody
else
in the government was paying any attention to what they were doing when they were doing all of this?
Well, again, it's the worldwide crime family.
Nobody was looking.
You know, we got the worldwide casino from Wall Street. When we talk about the world, the mafia taking over in government, we're not even kidding.
No, it's literally on a scale that we're trying to figure out how to present it as a news story without looking like we're nuts.
It's hard to believe that it goes that deep. Like you say, how far down the rabbit hole do you go?
And it's been going on for years. You know, a lot of this distrust in these different things with the federal government is not just new to Obama. It's
right.
not just
It's been
Clinton.
Going on for a long
it's
time.
It's been going on for decades. These different things that are...
They just ramped it up and put more fuel on the fire is all they did.
Well,
we have a caller.
The bill's coming due.
Terry is on the line.
Okay.
Good morning, Terry.
Hey, how you three doing?
We're doing good. What can we do for you?
Well, I wanted to go ahead and read something real quick, if I may, and just make a couple of quick things and quick observations about both programs I've heard this morning. I think, Mark, to a degree, a lot of people have had enough. We had well over 100 people representing 21 counties yesterday. And, you know, they're standing up. And I loved your clip. I thought it was great. But, you know, we have the solution for all of that. I just want to read you something real quick. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliance, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration with a firm alliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. That's the last paragraph in the Declaration of Independence. Point is that that talks about a state, a sovereign state, being the same as Spain, being the same as England, being the same as Germany, being the same as France. And once we understand that a free state, that a state with sovereignty in the United States that has jurisdiction, that has interposition to stand in between, which is what we need up in Burns, and has nullification of nullifying, as Red stated this morning, anything that's not constitutional, that's the silver bullet, my friend. That's the silver bullet. There isn't one single problem, whether it be the Federal Reserve and even geoengineering, it doesn't matter what it is, there isn't one problem that cannot be solved and cannot nullify the unconstitutional acts of the federal government other than a sovereign state, which is what Jefferson will be, and seven other states, including Oregon, are fixing to do the same thing. So I think that at this point, people need to get behind and understand that is the silver bullet. It's the only thing that matters. The president and the Constitution really doesn't have any power to speak of, yet we now have him being an emperor. Yeah?
Well, that's it. And, you know, the real deal is that, you know, the people are waking up. You're absolutely right. We need, and that is the bottom line. The people have to wake up and get involved in their government, you know, whether it's the state of Jefferson or the state of California. You know, the state of Jefferson is a new start, and we're completely in agreement with you. But the people still have to be involved no matter what the state of politics is, because otherwise you will end up eventually where we're back now if we don't, you know, the price of freedom is eternal vigilance. And that's really the bottom line no matter how you slice
the
pie.
These people are involved. That's the whole entire point.
Yep.
Because when you have a sovereign state, no matter where it is, every state should be sovereign. You see, no matter where it is, those people are involved. And so that's the deal. There isn't anything that following the Constitution and people realizing, gosh, you know, our state is more powerful than the creation that we created. And I think maybe that's the rub here. The idea of the President of the United States, he has very limited powers in the Constitution, as you well know. I mean, you probably know, my good friend Mark, more about the Constitution, or forgotten more about the Constitution than most people know.
Well, you know, the real deal is that the enumerated powers that have been given to the president have been usurped and overrode, and they've taken the power away from the states in appearance, not in fact. The states can all get back the power to be sovereign states if the people wake up and realize that they have the power and they exercise it. And
and they have power as individual sovereigns, too.
Absolutely. And that's really what's going on with the state of Jefferson, is you're seeing an awakening, if you will, of the people realizing that the power is vested actually in the people and the states, respectively. And that's where we're going. And unfortunately, it's the state of mankind that you have to feel the pressure before you feel the need, I guess.
And you're so right, my friend. You're so right. And I just want to encourage you, because that clip you did was quite good, you know, and your show's great. The only thing I'm saying here is that in being in total agreement with everything you guys do and talk about, you've been amazing. Point is that I think that people are starting to realize who we are.
Yep.
I think that's the main thing. And I think that's the thing that Jefferson did when they started 28 short months ago. People begin to realize who we are and where the power really is. And like we talked about this morning on Jefferson's state of mind, the fact is the federal government really doesn't have any power. They use local agencies, local police forces, local groups, state groups like Fish and Wildlife to control us, because they don't really have the power or the manpower. They just get people bribed into going against us, our own people.
Yep, and that's, you know, and we can always pick out the little bits and points to the issue, you know, whether it's the Federal Reserve or states' rights or Second Amendment, all of that, you know, matters. But the real deal is the people that are awakening and this top-down central government being funded by a crime syndicate, you know, that's counterfeiting money, is part of the whole thing. But it's the awakening of the people that, you know, they wake up and they realize that it's about liberty. And if they don't have the liberty and who's stealing their liberty? That's really what's going on. Who's taking their liberty, how are they doing it?
You're right. You're 1,000,000% right. And that's the thing. And you hit the nail on the head. Without liberty, who cares about anything else? If they take your livelihood, they take your life, they treat you as servants, they treat you as serfs, they take away your land, they take away your freedom of religion.
Your
they
income.
Take away your freedom of speech.
Take away everything at that point.
They take away your income through the
That's why the sovereign state is, without question, no denying it, no, there is no argument, that is the answer. And Jefferson is just one state. We have 49 other states, because we won't even count California at this point. I think they think they're their own country.
They do.
That understand this. And that's the deal. Once we understand the similarity between a state and a country, that there is no difference. The founders meant state. It's synonymous with the word country.
Yep.
You see, that's the thing. And I think more of that, of people realizing it and going, oh, my gosh, you know, this is what a sovereign state looks like, with jurisdiction in that state, interposition to stand between the people and the federal government, and nullification, to nullify anything that isn't constitutional.
And one of the things that is important, too, is, yet again, the people have to be engaged to man the seats of government and to hold those people that are manning the seats of government to do their duty as a sovereign state and stand for the citizens.
And you're right, engagement. Red. And you know, what you said this morning I think was really impactful. And for people who didn't hear that, Red made a great point. You know, if your neighbor's standing up against something that's unconstitutional, unjust, stand with him. You know, and I can tell you this about you three people. When you say something, you mean it. When you say you're going to stand, you're going to stand with people. And I think there's a lot of people out there like that. And I can't wait for the gentleman from Oath Keepers to call. Because really and truly, we have people that we have in office including sheriffs in many counties, that have sworn to uphold the Constitution, and they do not. They do not uphold the Constitution. And frankly, the Bill of Rights trumps anything California says in their Constitution. The Bill of Rights is the Bill of Rights.
Well, I think you're right, Terry. I mean, and, you know, I'm just thinking in terms of, you know, we talked about California there for a second, and, you know, that this is why they have to have the power going to the central government through the giveaways, because that's how they're, what they're doing is they're bribing the local officials, you know, the people out of their own freedom. I mean, that's, Jerry Brown just made it legal for illegals to vote in an election.
Well, it makes them feel warm and cozy, so then they look the other way.
Think about what I just said. He made it illegal for illegals to vote. How the heck can that be legal?
It is not legal. It is not legal, and that's the thing. But enough people don't stand up. They've given up. But there are now a movement that's amazing. When we received those 8 declarations in 3 weeks, that was amazing.
Listen, Terry, we got to kind of let you go because our guest is called in.
We got Joe
Rice on the line here.
All right, thanks for calling in.
All right, thanks, Terry. We have Joe Rice from Oath Keepers. He's up in Malheur Forest, Burns,
Oregon.
And he's a 3%er or Oath Keeper or both? Oath Keeper. Are you there, Joe?
Yes, I am.
Well, very good. Hey, thanks for coming on the show. Good morning. Wow, what's been going on? What's the latest up there? We've been following this down here, you know, with, you know, just intense, you know, what do we got here?
Yeah, we've all just been kind of watching and hoping you could kind of give us a brief overview as the situation as it stands. We've been involved and watching what's going on and trying to spread the truth of what really happened with the Hammonds and the different situations with BLM and the land that's going on out there. And we'd love to hear kind of a brief overview as the situation as it stands on the ground right now.
Yeah, sure. You know, as everyone hopefully is aware of the Hammonds' plight, Dwight and Steve Hammond, the Hammond family, are ranchers in eastern Oregon. They've been in the Burns and Harney County since the 60s. And it seems that Dwight Hammond has had continuous issues with the Bureau of Land Management. His ranch sits next to the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge on one side, and then on the other three sides, it's surrounded by the Bureau of Land Management, managed land. So it's been a constant battle with the Hammonds and BLM. In early 2000, 2001, they had some lightning fires, and the Hammonds lit backfires to protect their ranch. And again, there was allegations of them starting arson fires. Harney County investigated it, never filed charges for lack of evidence. The state of Oregon investigated it. They did charge them, but then dropped the charges, lack of evidence. And then about 2 years later, and this has all happened, you know, in 2012, 13, such like this, mm-hmm. The Hammonds were charged with 19 different counts from the federal government. U.S. Attorney Frank Papagni dropped those charges down to 9, and they were convicted basically on a count of arson each. Judge Hogan, who was a presiding judge, sentenced both Hammonds to prison. Now, this is where it starts to get interesting. Arson, under the United States Criminal Code and Federal Code, is under the Domestic Terrorism and Death Penalty Act. And so in his sentencing, Judge Hogan stated he felt sentencing the Hammonds to 5 years in prison was cruel and unusual. He would not do it because he felt it was a violation of their Eighth Amendment. Mm-hmm. Because there were ranchers protecting their ranch land from fire. They set back fires to protect their grazing land from cattle. So he gave Dwight Hammond 90 days, and he gave Steve Hammond, Dwight's son, 366 days. They went to prison, and they served that in their entirety and then came home. They'd been home for a year and a half, almost 2 years, when Amanda Marshall, who was the U.S. Attorney for Oregon, made the very rare request for reconsideration of sentencing to the Ninth District, and it went to Judge Aiken out of Eugene, and Judge Aiken turned around, said the Hammond's original sentence by Judge Hoag was quote-unquote illegal, and she said they had to go back to prison for the entire 5 years, credit for time served. That happened in October of 2015, and the Hammond surrendered to federal prison in Southern California on January 4th. One of the things is Amanda Marshall has now resigned as the U.S. Attorney in Oregon because she's currently under investigation for a hostile work environment for basically stalking a coworker.
She,
so it appears to be dysfunction within the U.S. Attorney's Office in Eugene.
She's also implicated in the Kitzhopper email scandal with Tom Steyer and helping to
yes.
cover that up.
Yeah, and so we're watching those that should be enforcing and supporting the law themselves break it.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to question what is their ethical standard, where's their moral compass in this situation. I mean, ranching is not an easy life. It's hard work. The Hammonds, if you go through the community, are well-supported. They're bedrocks of the community out there in Burns and Harney County. And everyone you speak to believes this is improper. You know, Lincoln once said, the people are the masters of Congress and the courts. And watching the Hammonds go back to prison after they had already sentenced the original sentence in its entirety by the judge, you know, you look at Fifth Amendment, you know, the Constitution says, we call it double jeopardy, but it actually states, shall not be put twice into jeopardy of life or limb.
Yeah. What's they
so then the Hammond's back a second time seems to do exactly that. And Dwight Hammond, a 74-year-old rancher, that is cruel and unusual. Most of the Hammond family and a lot of folks believe it's a death sentence for Dwight going into federal prison. So we held a support rally out in Burns, Oregon for the Hammonds. It was a Saturday before there's a supposed to surrender on Monday, and we went by the Hammond house. We laid down flowers and cards or letters of encouragement to the Hammond family. We had close to 500 people that attended that support rally to draw attention to it. Some of the frustration in this is, you know, I'm also the Josephine County Coordinator for Oath Keepers, but I'm one of the founding members of the Pacific Patriot Network, and with that, we sponsored this, and we went out, and we, since October, have been working out there, late September, early October. You know, we've interviewed the Hammonds, we've interviewed Sheriff Dave Ward, we've actually gone out and interviewed Frank Papagni, the United States Attorney as a prosecutor. We've got all the court transcripts and documents and really looked at this thing hard.
Yeah.
And we see some huge oversteps and just things were done wrong by the federal government. You know, the Hammonds were sentenced and served their prison term in its entirety, and now they're being sent back to prison. That is so incredibly rare in America. You look at Fifth and Eighth Amendment violations. One of the big things is when they were going back to prison the second time, the Bureau of Land Management negotiated with the Hammonds to obtain first right of refusal if they ever chose to sell their ranch.
Yeah.
And our belief is that was so they could be guaranteed the federal prison of their choice. So there's been some leveraging on the federal government into what is an atrocious situation. So as we go back to the support rally, at the end of that, you know, Almond Bundy had been involved in this, and they decided to take a harder stand, and they went out to the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge and occupied it. That was completely unbeknownst to us. We had no idea it was going to happen until it did. Because after the support rally, what we did is we were going to the fairgrounds to hold a town hall-style meeting to educate the folks of Harney County as to what they could do to help the Hammonds, what options the Hammonds had for them in either, you know, clemency, pardon, or petitioning the Bureau of Prisons for Compassionate Release of Dwight Hammond. We had been out there previously, and we got them formed up with their Committee of Safety, and that takes on a structure like a school district or a fire district or a water district. It becomes a government entity where you have representation of the people that you know, make their voice heard to county government. So, you know, doing everything legally and lawfully. We denounced Ammon's stance and how he took over the refuge and what occurred. What's interesting, though, is that he is touching on an important message. And that message was seen when Congressman Greg Walden from the House floor, what was supposed to be a five-minute speech, turned into almost a 25-minute speech, and he vented his frustration dealing with BLM, specifically when he had the Steens Mountain Compact, where he had put together a coalition of government and ranchers where they had come to consensus on how to manage that area. BLM was the implementing agency, and immediately the bureaucracy and those people within BLM that perpetuate that bureaucracy went a completely different direction. They went the way they wanted to go. And when Congressman Walden was explaining to him that was not the intent, they challenged him as like, well, we don't believe that. Of course, he says, I'm the one that wrote the law. I know what the intent was. But it still resulted in them digging out all of their documents when they put the statute together. So if you look at Congressman Walden, a sitting U.S. Congressman's frustration that he showed, you can only imagine the frustration of the ranchers out there in Harney County or in Eastern Oregon. And what we're seeing is this is a problem not just in ranching, in mining. We had the Sugar Pine Mine situation here in Josephine County, and again, it was BLM. The whole situation out in Harney County, BLM. So it's a land use issue in the West. You know, when Oregon has 54% of its land managed by federal agencies, Bureau of Land Management, Forest Service, and you look at Massachusetts, which has less, well, I think it's 0.4%, you know, less than 1% is federally managed land, there's a huge difference. And part of it, when you look at economics, when people are trying to gain permission to utilize the natural resources these lands provide for the community's economic health, to take care of their families, and they're constantly told no, or they're constrained and constricted, frustration boils up. And I think that's what we have seen out there on the refuge. Unfortunately, the media narrative has been atrocious. You know, they called it an armed takeover. The visual image of armed takeover is a bunch of guys going in with guns and physically taking it over. And that's absolutely not what happened. They went out there on a Saturday night to an empty refuge, with all the buildings open. They have occupied it. I mean, we have seen through American history occupations take place. I mean, if Rosa Parks hadn't sat in the bus seat, if there hadn't been lunch counters staged in, sit-ins, we wouldn't have the change in civil rights. And, you know, civil disobedience is kind of an American value, if you will. If you really want to get something changed, you stand up and draw attention to it. And you know, this is what Ammon's done. The way he did it, not appropriate, but the message that's now being focused on is appropriate. What happened to the Hammonds is wrong. Our system should not allow that to Americans that work hard. The land use issue that's coming out is very important that people look at this. It has to change. After the Sugar Pine Mine, we wrote a letter to Congressman DeFazio, and we requested an inquiry or investigation into BLM's management style and practices and the abuses of Americans. Well, that's over 8 months ago, and to date, Congressman DeFazio has not answered a letter. He's just ignored it. So when you have elected representatives, when you have government agencies that ignore the people, their public service, the people they're supposed to be working for, they ignore them, these types of actions they shouldn't be surprised by. So as Ammon has been out there on the refuge, what happened is, naturally, there was a response from the federal authorities, the FBI primarily, and Harney County. We had concerns when we spoke with Sheriff Dave Ward. We told him if something was to occur or happen with the Ammons that they had to be ready for some type of eventuality because a lot of people felt it was unfair. So as things have moved along, Ammon has focused on the land use issues, the ranching, and what's been interesting is the tide has turned a different direction now where people, locals, are supporting the message because he's drawing attention to the abuses of actually county officials. Judge Grasky out there is appearing to be terribly corrupt.
Yep.
And also the federal side of things with what's occurring and the how allotments are. Part of the problem is Harney County and Burns, 50% are employed by the federal government. And you have what's called a fire economy that started out there. So people, and I've never been in an area, are fearful of speaking up or exercising their First Amendment rights to redress grievance because of reprisatory action by the federal agencies. Ranchers have told stories that they challenged BLM, the grazing allotments, and spoke out publicly when they went back to renew them the next year. They were no longer available, or the paperwork was lost. So that seems to be a common practice. Recently I was told a story about there's a rancher that lives 3 miles from the refuge. For 10 years, the refuge has been attempting to purchase his ranch. He doesn't want to sell it. Their business model is they have older animals, cattle and horse. Well, the refuge manager was poking around his ranch. He went into Burns to Judge Grasky, and Judge Grasky issued an animal neglect warrant for him. Now, the previous sheriffs went out and arrested them and put them in jail for 89 days. And during that 89 days, the sheriff's son cared for those animals at $500 per day. They came to a settlement, and then they liquidated all the animals to pay the fine, and they've gone back out onto their ranch. The person that was carrying the title, as an owner carried title on the mortgage, said, I'll give you your deposit back, and you guys can get a fresh start. They came to find out that they were so generous in that because the refuge had already made a deal with them to purchase the ranch and absorb it into part of the refuge. So you have to have some pretty strong questions is, how can a sheriff have his son charge some poor people $500 a day while he's testifying against them? And the judge is overseeing all of this. So those are some of the things that are coming out. One of the big things that came out in defense of the Hammonds is people go into that refuge and there is a firefighting group of ranchers that put themselves together like a little fire district to help each other on lightning-caused range fires to protect grasslands. And they had witnessed, I witnessed this backburn, and they witnessed BLM on either side of the Hammond Ranch light a fire in a horseshoe shape, and the hams come out and light backfires to protect their ranch. It is right up against the ranch boundary. And Frank Papagni interviewed this witness and then never spoke to him again. And then we believe what we're finding out is they never, in discovery, provided the existence of this witness to the Hammonds, which would exonerate them. There's also a video that's come to light, but we've had federal authorities go out and threaten those people that they don't need to get involved in the middle of this. If they do, they'll confiscate their firefighting equipment. You probably saw last week where the militia and others were getting a bad rap. There's all these threats. Well, it was the FBI going around posing as militia. You see a traffic stop in town. It could be a license plate like that's out, and you'll see two or three or more law enforcement vehicles on that traffic stop.
Are you aware, Joe, of the article that came out yesterday with IntelliHub about the Clinton Foundation and the publicly owned lands and the uranium? And my understanding is up there, there's a lot of minerals on all that land, and it seems like this is a land grab by the powers that be, and it kind of feathers into everything you're saying right now.
We are aware of that Clinton Foundation, and actually some of that came out of our intelligence team about 3.5 weeks ago. That came to light, that the Clinton Foundation has been involved in a lot of these land purchases, And there's actually a assay report of the Hammond Ranch where it is rich in uranium and gold.
Wow.
And that's out there. So it does appear to be a land grab.
Have you guys come across a connection with Tom Steyer and the geothermal group and the geothermal vents and the things that are going on out there as well?
No, not yet. They're doing a lot of research. What we did is the Pacific Patriot Network went in as a buffering force. Right now, out at the Burns Airport, there is a substantial presence of a federal, FBI tactical team. In the courthouse, they've made it into a fortress. They put cyclone fencing around it. There's 25 to 30 federal agents or more in there daily.
Wow.
The tactical team has expanded their footprint at the Burns Airport. And so our concern became we don't want to see a wakeying type of event.
Sure. Yeah.
And so we placed ourselves kind of in the middle as a neutral spot. And the intent of that neutrality is we have tactical teams, and we basically have told all sides, stay on your side of the fence. We'll be the fence. We want to see this resolved peacefully. It has to have an open dialogue. Some of the issues we've been working with on the last few weeks is we were able to get Hammond and Sheriff Ward on that road to start a dialogue. Unfortunately, it didn't go anyplace. The PPN then drafted articles of resolution based on their talking points at press conferences and presented that as a foundation to start resolution from. Again, that went nowhere. This past Wednesday, I actually drove to Salem and presented a request to the governor's office, Governor Brown's office, that she send a mediator to Burns to moderate a dialogue to resolution. We find it very odd, 3-4 weeks into this, going into this fourth week, that the federal, the county, or the state have not offered any type of mediator to help moderate this discussion. You probably saw finally Hammond started speaking with the FBI. We had put that together through some back channels and got him over there to start a dialogue, an open dialogue. But at this point, we look at Governor Kate Brown's complete and total leadership failure. She had an opportunity to provide mediation, and the only thing she did was turn around and throw all of it with state sovereignty down the toilet to the federal government. She says, this is your problem. You should have fixed it by now, and, I want my $100,000 per week paid back to us. And, that's vastly different than we see the governor of Texas, who's demanding BLM leave his state. So, unfortunately, that's occurred. And now, as we continue down the path, there is dialogue going on, finally. There is discussion. But these issues with the Clinton Foundation and other things, I mean, if we look at the Bureau of Land Management, and these are legal papers, you can actually see they're a registered corporation in Puerto Rico.
Wow.
We have the situation of the Bundy Ranch. We've had the Sugar Pine Mine. We've had the situation in Eastern Oregon. It's always the Bureau of Land Management. And it always seems to be the same continuous issues. How Congress doesn't act on an investigation looking at their practices, why this discussion is not taking place, it's frustrating and confusing to a lot of people.
Why don't they pull their funds? I mean, that's been destroyed. Congress has the power of the purse. They have not used it at all. They have acquiesced and knuckled under and given, everything to these guys at every turn, and even after they took over the Congress and the Senate. It's just it's unbelievable.
It is. And, when you have these 1,200-plus page bills for funding, they're working on continuing resolution, you would think the power of the purse string, as you say, that's what I was taught in my civics class, you simply defund them.
Right.
Or you defund certain parts of their operations would make sense. But, in 1946, they had the Administrative Procedures Act was put into place, and Congress kind of gave away a lot of their authority. And what I mean by that is these agencies, the bureaucracy, started making their own rules and regulations. And they go out into the public, go out onto our lands, and they tend to enforce them as if they were law.
Yep.
And they're not. They're civil. They're rule and regulation. And then they start funding themselves or forming police forces or tactical forces. There's no place in the Constitution or anything else that says the BLM should have its own law enforcement.
Well,
for the FBI, or the IRS.
Or powers of prosecution.
I mean, for that matter, the wildlife. I mean, for that matter, you know, you got the wildlife guys, the Fish and Wildlife and Game. You got the,
yes.
You know, you got the Forest Service. All of a sudden, these guys all have police powers.
Well, and that's it. I mean, when I met with Mr. Rapagni, he stated, he says, you know, we used to go after drug cartels, and then it was organized crime. He says, today, everything's domestic terrorism. And the problem with these agencies is the culture within them becomes everybody's a domestic terrorist. And when people are going out using our public lands and they're recreating and they're treated like criminals in their own country, there's a culture within these agencies that has to change. It's got to stop. That's inappropriate. There is not a terrorist behind every tree. I mean, I did three tours in Afghanistan. I fought the war of terror. I understand what a terrorist looks like. And it's not a rancher in eastern Oregon.
Well, if anything,
that's not a terrorist.
If anything, the populace, the people, are being terrorized by our own government at this point.
We experience it down here in the state of Jefferson regularly as well. You know, we have very serious issues with land use, and for us, it's a little bit different of a deal because not only do we get it from BLM, but our own state government out of Sacramento goes above and beyond what BLM does to us and hammers us. And
yeah.
As you said, it's a cultural change, a shift in mindset that has to occur. We're being stamped out.
Well, it's not to the level of terrorism at this point, but it's the us against them mentality from the agency's points of view.
Well it is. And, you have to look at the producers. And there's nothing in our lives that doesn't come out of the dirt, be it mineral, be it, you know, grown, whatever it is. It's what enriches our lives. And what we've seen in the West, it started with the timber industry. We can't touch timber.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here in Josephine County a few months back, they withdrew 101,000 acres of minerals in the entire Illinois Valley. We're seeing miners throwing off their claims, timber. Now it's after ranchers. There's an attack on the producers, those that produce things to make our lives better, more fulfilled. You know, any nation, its strength comes from its ability to manufacture and produce items. And they're being constrained to a point where how are we going to continue to consume if they can't produce?
That's right.
Well,
there's some of us that have looked at this situation, and I'm one of them that have done some investigation and seen some of the things that have gone on some of these reserves and things. As an example, the Oak Bottom Reserve down in Arizona, where the Apache Reservation has now had 5,000 acres of their land seized and handed over to the foreign corporation. It's not that these lands are not going to be put into use. They're not going to be put into use for Americans. They're being put into use for foreign corporations and forest interests. And some of us are almost wondering if these lands haven't quietly been set aside in backroom deals as securement for our debt.
That's a discussion we've had up here, is when we're looking at the richness of our natural resources in timber and mineral in all these areas, it appears to be the collateral for our foreign debt. We're kind of on the edge of the plank here with these continuous resolutions. I mean, there is nothing backing our economy. It's a illusion that we're financially doing well. And if we're not producing something, we can't show wealth. We can't show product. I mean, what do you have? And so the only thing we can leverage right now and show are those raw natural resources in timber and in mineral, and then in ranching. I mean, you know, as you said earlier, the Hammond Ranch, with this assay report that we have, shows underneath that ranch, next to the reserve, uranium and gold.
Well, and if we lose our ability to manufacture, and with the dollar and the worldwide, monetary system collapsing right now, we haven't seen it as much in the dollar as we're going to. If we don't have our natural resources to produce things, we're going to be subjugated.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm in Josephine County, we've lost timber. We're losing mining. We're in a situation where we're surrounded by all these resources, and it's a look but don't touch.
Yeah.
And in the state of Oregon, our economy is at the bottom. I mean, we're just under everybody. And part of it is we've had all the sawmills and things closed. It's not been replaced by anything else. It hasn't been replaced by, you know, a tourism-type economy or something else. We've always been a producing, manufacturing type in the timber industry. So as you look at one of the things, when I was out there, I personally witnessed a rancher came up, and the guy was in tears. And out in Malheur County, there's a proposed national monument. Now, Eastern Oregon is Eastern Oregon. It is sage. It is scrub, but that's what it is. So there's 400 ranches now being threatened by this national monument. And this gentleman said, my great-grandfather, my grandfather, my father, and I have ranched. I don't know how to do anything else. It's all I know. And he's in his mid to late 50s, and he's looking at how he provides for his family and everything just arbitrarily removed. Because somebody said, okay, today that's your ranch, tomorrow it's a national monument, we have to protect it from you, the producer.
Yeah, and the person who has cared for it for generations.
Yes. Well, and that's one of the things that with the Hammond situation, the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge did a study on migratory waterfowl. And she used their own government scientific study where they come to the conclusion that the wildlife refuge was not healthy for migratory waterfowl because it didn't have the feed sources. The reason was all the ranches around them, privately owned, were burning off the rangelands for regeneration of grass and seed for cattle. All the migratory waterfowl were going to the ranches because the land was better maintained and managed in the refuge. So, you know, with the national view, when you say wildlife refuge, people think this nice, pristine protection of wildlife, birds, animals. Well, they've been so aggressive in suppressing fire, there's no food sources, so they're going to the surrounding ranchlands to do it because they do a better job at land management. And, you know, they'll throw study after study after study, and Susie Hammond brought this to light. She showed that the wildlife refuge was failing in its mission of land management because wildlife was not landing there in their migratory patterns. They were going to the outside ranches and doing it. And so that, of course, was embarrassing. And then we started finding other things. The BLM area manager and the Malheur National Wildlife Manager just happened to be husband and wife.
Did you know that the lady that you're speaking of, the wildlife manager, is now the head of the Department of Climate Policy in California?
No, I did not know that. That's
yeah,
new.
She came down here to Sacramento and is now working for Jerry Brown as his head of climate policy.
Well, it seems like we have a, I don't know, submarine type of a movement inside the EPA and these environmental agencies, whether it's you know, climate change or shutting down the forests through the EPA or save all the trees. I mean, this is all about controlling the land. It's not about saving the trees or the birds.
And controlling the people.
It's control it, because if you control the land, you control the people.
Yeah.
It's about money and control.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, we're almost to the top of the hour, Joe. Well, we'd like to keep you on if you can, but we're going to have to go to a break, a hard break here in a few minutes, and you know, they'll just cut us off if we don't. But, you know, if you can stay with us, you know, we'll come back on a few minutes after 11 and then continue the effort at getting this information out to as many people as possible.
Sure. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, very good.
We're happy to.
All right, very good. Thank you, Joe. And so what do we got, about two minutes left? Is there, you know, gosh, this is just, the story has so many legs.
It's, where do you start digging, and, you know, where do you go with it? Because, you know, we've been digging heavily on this, you know, the research that we're doing with the Shasta Lantern and Sovereign Mines and things like that, and you start digging into this, and you just find more and more and more, and the pile just keeps getting bigger. You know, as Joe was talking about, the lady that was the attorney for the state is now resigned because of her practices and her illegal things. The gal from the Malheur Reserve is now heading up climate policy. You start looking into the geothermal contracts that are out there at the various hot springs around the Hammonds Ranch, and you find out that the guy heading that up is the former head and founding member of Clinton's Climate Policy Council. He's also the guy that decided where the Department of Energy contracts went when they were doing the energy policy thing. Guess what? They went to his company. He's the guy that secured the Reinvest in America funds from Barack Obama that helped to buy up some of these ranches and push people off so they can expand their geothermal footprint. It goes on and on.
I'll tell
you,
it's exactly what our founders warned us against is this centralized overreach and takeover of everything.
Yeah, you got to wonder how widespread this is opening up to.
Anyway, we got to go to a break.
Yeah.
With
that, we're going to go to the heartbreak, and this has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
This hour by townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. The travel ban in New York City and also in Baltimore have been lifted. This after the massive East Coast snowstorm stranded tens of thousands of travelers on the road this weekend. Airlines have canceled nearly 11,000 flights and have started to cut Monday service as well, anticipating it could take until Wednesday to get things back up to speed. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg says he's considering running for president. GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump tells CBS's Face the Nation that he would be pleased if Bloomberg decided to run for president.
I'd love to compete against Michael, and I know him very well, and I think he might very well get in the race, and I would love to have him get in the race.
Current New York Mayor Bill de Blasio said on ABC's This Week the presidential race is about addressing income inequality, not deciding which billionaire would make the best president.
I don't think most Americans think that billionaires are the ones who are going to help give us a more fair economy.
Bloomberg says he'll make up his mind early March, a week before the Iowa caucuses, and the Des Moines Register knows who they like.
In editorial Saturday, the paper endorsed Marco Rubio and Hillary Clinton for president. The most prominent daily newspaper in the state said Rubio was, quote, whip smart and could chart a new direction for Republicans, while praising Clinton, saying she's an outstanding candidate deserving of Democrats' support. The paper did acknowledge Clinton was not perfect, citing her email problems and her changing positions on homosexual marriage and immigration, but said she was more qualified than Bernie Sanders or Martin O'Malley. The paper said Rubio has questions about his experience, but offers a better, uplifting message than his challengers. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
A 6.8 magnitude earthquake struck southern Alaska earlier this morning, the epicenter near Cook Inlet, about 160 miles southwest of Anchorage, and now an aftershock at magnitude 4.7. They say no injuries or major damage has been reported, although they're still dealing with power outages. More on these stories can be found at townhall.com.
Two little tablets is all it takes to make your thin hair feel and look thicker and fuller. Guaranteed. Viviscal is the number one drug-free hair growth supplement in the U.S., with one box being sold every minute globally. It's clinically researched to promote existing hair growth for men and women. And now a 90-day supply of Viviscal is offered in your area risk-free, plus free shipping. Call 800-539-1900. Viviscal nourishes thinning hair from within. You'll love your hair growth results, guaranteed. Viviscal is so effective. It's recommended by top doctors. Here's Dr. Grant Stevens, board-certified plastic surgeon.
I feel confident recommending Viviscal to women with hair loss, thinning hair, or even dry or brittle hair. It's 100% drug-free, and it's backed by years of clinical research.
Want to try Viviscal? Every listener that calls now gets a 90-day risk-free supply plus free shipping. Call now, 800-539-1900. 800-539-1900. That's 800-539-1900.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Americans have considerable doubts about the government's ability to solve major problems in this presidential election year. Bob Agnew reports.
The results come from an Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs research poll conducted in December. It found that 6 in 10 people questioned expressed only slight confidence, or none at all, that the federal government can make progress on the problems facing the country in 2016. Terrorism and health care are the issues that adults cited as priorities, though various economic matters combined to take the top billing overall. The polling suggests that the electorate is more focused on the economy and domestic affairs than on foreign policy. Bob Agnew reporting.
A 44-year-old man is in custody, faces a court hearing in Hong Kong tomorrow after he was arrested in the deaths of his nephews in Los Angeles, California. Police say the man fled to China after committing those crimes. Authorities believe the suspect was upset after his wife filed for divorce. More analysis at townhall.com. 52 Mexican authors have jointly released a book about 43 student teachers who went missing after being handed over to gangsters by municipal police. In Mexico City, correspondent James Bleer speaks with one of those authors who describes how difficult it is to forgive the perpetrators.
Not forgive these 43.
Samuel Sokura, one of the 52 writers, says this book is an indelible memorial to the 43, Los 43.
I think in Spanish it's better because 43 is the number that had marked Mexico and all of us.
So far, more than 100 people have been arrested in connection to this appalling crime against humanity. James Blears in Mexico reporting.
Senior U.S. defense and military officials say that Iraq's prime minister is asking the coalition for more police training for Sunnis who will have to secure Ramadi and other towns once ISIS is ousted. Townhall.com.
Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, president of Wellgate Sports Club.
And I'm Allie Evers, proud owner of Boheme Spa.
At Wellgate, we're dedicated to building a club focused on improving the quality of your life, which is why we are so excited to introduce our new partner, Boheme Spa.
Thank you, Rich. Both Boheme Spa and Wellgate Sports Club share the same business philosophy and commitment to mind, body, and health. Conveniently located inside the Wellgate Sports Club, Boheme Spa is Reading's premier Aveda Concept Spa, featuring the complete line of Aveda products and Aveda signature services.
Wellgate Sports Club, in partnership with Boheme Spa, is proud to announce a groundbreaking new membership category called Rejuvenate. In addition to a standard premium access membership, Rejuvenate members receive 2 spa treatments per month from Boheme Spa for the term of the membership.
Reward yourself for your hard work and effort at the club with relaxing and restorative treatment.
Call 768-1205 today. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Mews with Northern Lights Energy. Happy New Year's. Kathy says we got more heaters coming in, and Johnny's been doing a lot of estimates and installs every day. So if you're tired of being cold, give us a call. Toyotomi kerosene heaters and on-demand hot water heaters. We also have a few used heaters for sale with great warranties. Danny's got the delivery trucks working every day. So check your tanks and give us a call. Northern Lights Energy. If you're tired of talking to answering machines and never getting your deliveries on time, give us a call. We don't have a salesman. We just have a lot of warm, happy customers. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, see Joe. In Redding, see Cody. He's the propane king. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Allen and Dahl Funeral Chapels are locally owned and family operated since 1978. Our goal is to assist you with your questions and decisions in difficult times, treating you with respect, care, and understanding, as we would with our own family. We have a reputation for being honest and compassionate, and our rates being very reasonable. We have a menu of various services, from cremation to traditional paths. Let us be there for you and help you with the questions you may have, even if you have already chosen another chapel service. That's just the kind of people we are. Always there for you. Allen and Dahl, with 3 locations to serve you. Reading, Anderson, and Palisadro. For more information or questions, call 547-4444. That's 547-4444. Allen and Dahl. Family, helping family.
Dandelion. Unique Gifts and Clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
certified produce abounds in the Orchard Nutrition Center Produce Department. All Orchard Nutrition Center produce is only watered with purified and pH-balanced water.
My name is John Moore. I've been shopping here at Orchard for 3 years now. One of the things that keeps me coming back is the produce here is exceptional.
And visit Orchard Nutrition Center's Organic Deli and Bakery, featuring custom-made sandwiches on freshly baked breads with nitrate-free deli meats. Orchard Nutrition Center's roast beef is grass-fed, grass-finished, and the cheeses are organic and RBST-free. Or choose vegetarian or vegan options, an organic rotisserie chicken, as well as delicious homemade soups and salads. And Orchard Nutrition Center features a full-service coffee bar. Orchard Nutrition Center's in-house bakery features freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and a large selection of baked, gluten-free, and vegan items daily. And now, to better serve your family, Orchard Nutrition Center is open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly, local Whole Foods store.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up.
Stand
got
up.
Our house in order and got yours inside.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, on the break here, we're just going over so many things that it's just unbelievable. You know, the servers, the email server from Clinton's private, her private server is starting to release information on, you know, this stuff on Gaddafi and the gold-backed currency. These guys, this criminal organization, it just seems like it's a worldwide deal. And you know, everything, see, they got their fingers
in Clinton.
Every pie, yeah. It seems like. It's just unbelievable. And the more stuff that comes out, I mean, if the American people aren't getting mad, I mean, then I tell you, we don't have any hope. But I think the wake up call is starting to come here. So we've got Joe from Oath Keepers on the line with us, and we kind of wanted to button this up. And you know, if you've got anything to you know, get out there, Joe, now's the time to do it. We got about, you know, 10-15 minutes left with you before we have to move on. But boy, I'll tell you what, you can't make this stuff up, can you?
No, and you know, one of the things that you have to remember, this started with the Hammonds. And, you know, we live in the United States of America, and we have a constitution. Those protect the individual rights. And some of the atrocities and injustice we've seen with this is the Oregon State Constitution affords the Hammonds protections. Kate Brown can request of the federal government that the Hammonds be returned to the state of Oregon while they look into and investigate the potential violation of their Fifth and Eighth Amendment rights by the U.S. Attorney and the courts. You know, with Mr. Papagni, the one thing that we were guided on, to his credit, is he felt that the original sentence of the Hammonds was fair and just. But this goes and brings into discussion, as Greg Walden did on the House floor, term, you know, sentencing minimums and mandatory minimums. And why do we have judges when judges can't be judges, and we have a 74-year-old man that is sent to prison for protecting his ranch land? And part of this goes with prosecutorial discretion that was never exercised. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to charge the Hammonds, but they did. What I find interesting is after the county refused to do it, the state refused to do it, the federal government came in and says, we're going to do it.
Well, where in the Constitution can anyone show me where the United States Congress has reserved the federal authority to determine a sentence in a criminal case for anyone, anytime?
Well, exactly. And, you know, and where was the victim here? these are generational ranchers that have been doing this for years. And look what's happened here. One of the things, I mean, why is BLM negotiating first right of refusal to purchase their ranch?
Because they want it.
They don't have any reason to take it by eminent domain. So these are things that have been going on with the Hammonds. I mean, the system seems to have been orchestrated to get them off their land, and they've been somewhat successful in it. One of the things that can be done is to support the Hammond in maintaining that ranch. You know, we're working on getting feed and hay donated and labor donated to keep the Hammond Ranch running while, you know, Dwight and Steve are in prison. One of the things we can do is, you know, petition the Bureau of Prisons for compassionate release of Dwight, as he's not in the grace of health, nor is his wife, with the stress they've endured on this. Also clemency.
Well, there is a petition. One of the questions that I have is on that paperwork. It says, "We the people of the United States of America versus Dwight and Stephen Hammond." We the people are the ones that technically brought suit against the Hammonds. Why cannot we the people afford them clemency?
Excellent question, and that's what it says. You know, as Lincoln said, we're the masters of the court in Congress. And that's one of the things that I think we need to bring pressure to bear on Judge Aiken and Eugene by protest at the courthouse or even in front of her home. I mean, they have no issues coming into our homes, knocking on our doors, trespassing on our lands. I think there has to be ownership for this action. And these judges and these attorneys and prosecutors tend to live in their own little microcosm of a world completely devoid of any understanding of what's going on around them. And they kind of perpetuate their own system, slapping each other on the back, what a good job we did, not realizing the majority of the community, it's not our value. That's not how we believe. I don't feel how America or Harney County is any safer by sending a 74-year-old man to prison, back to prison. I think it's atrocious that he is sent back to prison. At what point, you know, how is this not double jeopardy? I mean, I was told by the time it goes to the courts and is challenged, you know, their time would have been served. Well, why? Why can we not protest as a people, protest the courts, protest their decision, challenge them on the double jeopardy? I mean, when the Constitution was written, it was written to be understood by the common man. And now we have attorneys interpreting us and telling us what it meant. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand when it says shall not be put twice into jeopardy of life or limb. Going back to prison, I can count one time, two times. That's twice. Mm-hmm. Understood by the common man. Cruel and unusual. Sentencing Dwight Hammond or the Hammonds to 5 years was cruel and unusual, but sending a 74-year-old man back to prison and his son back to prison after they completed their initial prison terms? No, that's not right. And when you look at what they did, what did they do? What happened? I mean, we have videos, and they're out there on the web. People can look at them, where the BLM is lighting fire. They're burning up fences, they're burning up power poles, they're burning down a house, and they're burning cattle alive. I don't see anyone there being prosecuted. Who goes out and burns cattle alive knowing they're out there? These are ranchers trying to protect themselves, protect their lands, protect their way of life, and now they're being called terrorists? Now they're being given 5-year mandatory minimums for a crime? I mean, when does Oregon State sovereignty come in and say, wait a minute, no, they didn't do anything wrong? So, you know, what people don't understand is the Hammonds have spent upwards of $1 million defending themselves. The BLM assessed them with a $400,000 civil fine for burning 139 acres. You know how much ranch land in Harney County sells for? About $1,000 an acre. So they could have bought that land and owned it for life for $139,000. BLM in its court case said it was unusable for 2 years, but we're going to fine you $400,000.
Well, one of the things that got me is one of BLM's own officials during the trial testified that he couldn't qualify an amount of damages because the Hammonds burning the land had actually improved the value of it.
Yep, exactly.
By the time you get done with this thing and you see how far outside the color of law your government is operating, I don't know how anybody can not become wrathful over what's happened.
We ought to cue up that video that you just had up, Bob, with Gavin there. And let's play that, and let's get a little comment on that before we, run this whole thing.
And I had one quick question from one of our people in the chat room. What was the response like to the Chris Ann Hall town halls up there? Were you there for
that? That was overwhelming. She spoke two different nights. The first night had a fairly good-sized crowd. The second night, it was almost triple the amount of people there. Very inspiring. She is a gifted speaker.
Yeah, she is.
What a lot of folks don't realize is Ammon came out, and Ammon actually attended both the Chris Ann Hall and the meeting afterwards. He's been out in town a number of times. He's not been arrested. No one's approached him. But after the second Chris Ann Hall speaking engagement, he had over 100 people line up to shake his hand. They have a constant stream of ranchers in there telling him their story. It's the same thing we had here at Sugar Pine. They were telling us, their BLM story. He's having that occur out there. 80% of the people on that refuge are locals. They're not from away or out of state. I mean, the media doesn't report it that way, but they have a tremendous amount of support for the attention they're bringing to the land use issues. And part of it is those people in Harney County are not just dealing with the BLM and its bureaucracy, but they're also dealing with corruption in their own government. And that's now starting to unravel. We were saying that, Judge Grassky out there is not pissed because Ammon Bundy is sitting on the wildlife refuge occupying it. It's because there are 30-plus federal agents in the courthouse, and that's Grassky doesn't want them in the courthouse. Hopefully those FBI agents that are in there will start looking at some records and start digging in some files and seeing what else is going on. So it's one of those things. If people want to get involved, I mean, they can donate to help support, Pacific Patriot Network and what we're doing out there for work. And we fund guys with their, we reimburse for fuel and we provide housing and meals. So if they come out and volunteer their time, they can sign a petition for the Hammonds. They can, write a letter to their elected congressman or state senator asking that the mandatory minimum sentences be done away with, that they not be mandatory minimums, but maybe guidelines, put judicial discretion back into the courts. I mean, you're always going to have good judges or bad judges, but, as you said earlier, we the people, we can't stand on the sidelines and say, hey, they're going to fix it for us. We have to be vocal about it. The court of public opinion can be very persuasive.
So, Joe, if somebody wants to donate, do you have, an address or, a website or something that they can go to so people can help out the Hammonds?
Sure. Yeah, it's actually PacificPatriotsNetwork.com. We keep that updated regularly as to what's currently happening, where it's occurring, what's going on with the refuge. There's the ability to donate through that website. But the one thing I have to let everyone really know is if we post it on the website, it is accurate and vetted information.
Absolutely.
We do not deal in rumor. We don't deal in gossip. When we post information, our intelligence team has thoroughly investigated it, and they will have documentation and documents backing up anything we post.
Okay. And then also, if there's people up there around that area that want to bring something out, whether it's feed or something for the Hammonds Ranch or whatever, is there a phone number on that website for them to get a hold of somebody to do that?
It's a contact. It's called Volunteer at Pacific Patriots Network. And if they send an email explaining what they're offering, if feed or labor, we will put them in touch with who they need to be in touch with.
Okay, great.
We don't put out phone numbers because our phones just blow up.
Oh, I bet.
And so with the email side of it, we have someone that's constantly monitoring and responding to that. If they want to come out and help, it's a way to come out and help in any manner they want to, by donation, by supplies, by physical persons, by feed for the ranch. Just tell us what you're looking to help with, and we will get it to the right person.
And that's all under contact information at Pacific Patriots Network, and that's the volunteer coordinator, his email address.
Correct. Exactly.
I have another question from our listeners, too. Is there anybody that's putting money on the Hammonds books in prison for their commissary,
you know,
and things like that?
I don't know. I believe there was a question early on with that, and let me ask that question, and we'll put it up on the website, because I know there was an ability to donate for their commissary privileges in the prison. You know, the one thing I would really encourage listeners to do is write a letter. Write a letter to the president requesting clemency. Write a letter to the Bureau of Prisons requesting compassionate release. That was one thing we were told by the prosecutor is, online petitions and letters, they look at those. They bear a lot of weight. They want to look and measure what the temperature of the climate and the community are. And if they're not finding support on this, they start leaning towards those issues.
Maybe you could have something posted on the website that gives us the address to the prison, because we're, you know, I wouldn't have any idea which prison to write to in Oregon.
No, they're actually in Southern California, which I'm pretty sure has to make it Lompoc.
Yeah, maybe we can find that out and get it posted some.
Yeah.
I
will get that information out and post it as to where letters can be sent to in support. Anything that we can do there on the plight of the Hammonds. The other thing is requests, you know, the FBI launch an investigation into prosecutorial misconduct of the Hammonds.
Absolutely.
Why was critical evidence that probably exonerates them withheld from the defense? And, you know, it's one of those things where you look at this and realize that there was not any integrity in the prosecution. It was orchestrated. Amanda Marshall requesting it. You know, there are three opportunities for them to say, hey, we prosecuted the Hammonds, we accepted the judgment, and that's just the way it is. And that's what the judge decided to do. You leave it and move on. They could have done it. Amanda Marshall could have done that. The Ninth Circuit could have done it. Judge Aiken could have just not chosen to send them back to prison. But part of the game, and it's a game to them, is they're going to have to fight for their rights. They're going to have to fight to have the Fifth Amendment and Eighth Amendment violations looked at and reviewed. So, Amanda Marshall's behavior and the situation she's in, she doesn't seem to be a very intelligent person. So I would venture to say that she was pushed from somebody someplace else to make that request for a review of the Hammonds' sentence, because at the end of the day, they want the land.
There was a quote from her former boss, who used to be part of the district attorney's office in Coos Bay, and there was actually a quote from her boss directly that said she was let go because she was a moon bat.
Yeah.
And that was actually a public comment from her former employer.
Wow.
Yeah, see, and there we are. This is part of the thing, is if we don't demand good leadership, I mean, you look at what Governor Brown did this past week. She literally took the sovereignty of the state of Oregon, and she threw all leadership, all responsibility, and blamed the federal government for it.
Yeah, flushed it.
And that's just incredibly sad. You know, not willing to stand up and protect citizens of the state under the Oregon Constitution, blaming the feds for not having done this. I mean, part of its occupation, it's an American value. Civil disobedience, nonviolent civil disobedience is an important thing. I mean, Eric Holder in the 70s took over a Navy ROTC protesting Vietnam War action, and he did it armed. He became the Attorney General of the United States. I mean, if Martin Luther King hadn't had the lunch counter sit-ins, if Rosa Parks had never sat at the front of the bus, you know, those are constitutional rights that people exercise. It drew attention to issues that had to be addressed, resolved, and fixed. Hammond, I don't agree with the way that he took over the refuge, but he is drawing attention on an issue that needs to be fixed. We attempted to do it with Sugar Pine. We did everything, and we wrote Congressman DeFazio, requested an inquiry investigation. 8 months, he's ignored it. So as an elected representative, if you're going to ignore your constituents and you're not going to respond to concerns, it's not like I wrote the letter. There's thousands of people supporting and standing behind that letter. And you're going to ignore them? You should not be surprised when people act out in frustration. If you look at Greg Walden's speech and Congressman Walden's frustration from the House floor, you can only imagine the users or the people that live in these communities that have to deal with the bureaucracy of these agencies, where they're going. So people have to start speaking out. This is no longer the time to be sitting on the sidelines watching. You have to step on the field and participate.
There is a website, too, that has a petition going called www.savethehammonds.com, and they have 27,300 people that have already signed it. So you can go there. That's savethehammonds.com. And I think there's another one at the White House at this point as well, and I'll find that out here in just a second. But, yeah, I think people are waking up, and I want to play this video clip, too, after we get off here of Gavin, and Gavin C. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but let's go ahead and play it, Bob, and then take a little bit of comment, and then we have a half an hour left here before we're off the air, but go ahead and play it, Bob, and right now, and then let's take comment afterwards. So here we go.
All right, this is just in from down in Oregon, and you need to understand what's happening down there. This is enormous. They're taking the public meetings that they've been having in the county, America. Judge Steve Grassley, the sheriff of the county, they're taking the public meetings, they're moving them to a ticket-only format where only approved people can be in there speaking at the public meetings. Are you hearing this? I'm not making this up. They released a press release, and they're taking the meetings from the school. The judge declared that the meetings will be moved to the school, to the senior center, which can hold much less people. The maximum occupancy is now 150 people. You have to have a ticket to get in. You have to be a Harney County resident to get in. You cannot have a gun. You must go through security. You must present ID. Everything is being controlled down in Harney County. And whether you live there or somewhere else, you need to understand the gravity of this bureaucratic terrorism. You should be getting angry right now because this is huge. We have the Patriots down in Oregon, and they're standing up for the rule of law. They're standing up for people's rights. They're trying to return the land to the people. They're doing so with principle and with peace. Now, they've been having these public meetings where they load the bases with loyalist people who will boo the Constitution and who will support and applaud the tyranny coming from these local officials and the judicial and bureaucratic terrorism coming from the federal government. People in these meetings, this has happened twice now, that brought up the Constitution. Not that caused a scene or that picked a fight or anything like that. Patriots that brought up the Constitution were physically removed by the sheriff. They were thrown out of these public meetings. Now, in order to have more control, they're taking these public meetings with public officials to a place, locking it down, saying you have to sign up for a ticket to get in. You have to show your ID. You cannot exercise your Second Amendment rights. And you have to comply by their rules. These aren't private people, folks. This is the judge of the county. This is the sheriff of the county. These are the county officials. This is tyranny, is what it is. Folks, we have a law. We have a rule of law in this nation. We have liberty. We have our God-given rights. And we have to stand up and do something about it. This nation is falling. Our children are becoming slaves as we speak. The front right now is down in Oregon. And a few brave men are standing up for the rule of law. And it's time to rise in support. It's time to expose to the world what these wicked men in Harney County, Oregon are doing. It's time to step up. Because if we don't do something, it's over.
Wow. Pretty powerful stuff. I mean, and that's really what we're talking about, isn't it, Joe?
Well, yeah, and let me read you something. And this is when I spoke about the corruption. What he's speaking to there is Judge Grassley.
Mm-hmm.
And Judge Grassley came out and said, tomorrow tickets will be available only to Harney County residents to have this meeting. And this is where Grasky and his comments to us and discussions have been, get out of my county. These are my buildings. This is my county. You have no problem to be here. Oregon law. This is the law. 192.630. Meetings of governing body to be open to public. All meetings of the governing body of a public body shall be open to the public, and all persons shall be permitted to attend any meeting except as otherwise prescribed by ORS 192.610. So there you have it. There's the judge knowingly and willfully violating Oregon law.
Wow.
That is corruption.
Unbelievable, this whole thing.
You have a judge who also sits as the lead county commissioner that is closing and restricting a public meeting only to county residents. It's illegal. He cannot do that. But here's the game. Rather than being called on it and challenged on it, it's they have the meeting and they'll deal with it afterwards. He can't do that. It's an ethics violation. It's a direct violation of law. So what we do have, and it takes moral courage, is if you witness them committing the crime where you attempt to enter the meeting and they stop you from entering, then under the authority of Oregon statute, you can also arrest them for violation of the law. And it's an illegal act. So that's it. When you have people in the decision-making, government is there to protect the people, not constrain. The Constitution constrains government, not the people.
Absolutely.
And people here you have a situation where you have a tyrannical action by a corrupt judge who also is a county commissioner who is willfully violating Oregon state law for convenience. It doesn't work that way, not in America. We don't have the ability to pick and choose the laws we want to adhere to and the ones we don't want to adhere to. We're a lawful nation.
Hey, Joe, could I ask you a real quick question, too? Sorry, but I had something come across. Do you know if there's any truth to the fact that Sheriff Hammond's wife's maiden name is Grasty?
Oh, Sheriff Ward, you mean?
Yeah, Sheriff Ward's wife.
Yeah. I have no idea of that. I don't know.
What would be the connection there?
What I do know is that
Judge
we have
Grasky's
confirmed
daughter.
This, is Judge Grasky's brother in Vail County is a senior level manager with BLM.
Okay.
What we do know is the former sheriff before Ward, the BLM compound, is not owned or managed by BLM. It's actually on leased land owned by the former sheriff. So if you start having these things unwind, you know, one thing's leading to another thing. I find when any government entity attempts to constrain and deny transparency of a proceeding, they're hiding something. They don't want to be transparent. They don't want the truth to come out. There should be no fear of having open public meetings. There should be no fear of having any disclosure of public information unless you've been benefiting from it and you're trying to hide that.
Well, in a way, is the government here kind of not backed into a catch-22? Because the longer this situation continues, the more and more exposure it's getting, the more and more this corruption is just oozing out from under everything, under the spotlight. Yet at the same time, I don't think they can really act against the occupiers at the reserve without fear of lighting the West on fire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look at Oregon, you look Washington State this past year with wildfire and the hundreds of millions of dollars spent in unmanaged forest health. You know, here we are, we're loving the land to death. We have these wildfires go through there and they nuke them. There's nothing left. Baker County was destroyed by devastating wildfires because they don't manage the land. The ranchers out in eastern Oregon understand land management. They know how to do it. They're not working from some bureaucratic policy assembled in Washington, D.C. They're living it. Generationally, that experience is passed down from, you know, father to son, father to son. And to have, you know, that's the biggest issue we fight is when Hammond is making his case, and the same thing with the state of Jefferson, returning the land, it remains a public land, but it goes under local control. If you have land here in Josephine County and Harney County that is then managed by the county to the local values of the community for its economic health and done responsibly, that's a better deal. As long as it remains under federal control, anytime a grazing permit, a Christmas tree permit, a firewood permit is purchased, it goes to D.C. It doesn't recirculate into that community. And so they have no benefit of it. So that's the biggest thing is why, what is the issue about returning this to local control? If you look at Massachusetts, Maine, they have a tremendous amount of county and state lands, and they're still public lands. They're just managed locally. You don't see the devastating wildfires out east that you do out here. Why is that?
Well, that's because we're overstocked. We see it quite a bit here in Jefferson, where it has become a direct threat to livestock, to people, to homes. You know, these wildfires, I grew up in a timber county. I know what a traditional wildfire looks like in a managed forest, and I know what they look like now. These things are hellish infernos that actually burn so hot. We've seen instances of where it's turning the soil into glass, where
yes.
Nothing will ever grow again. It's insane.
That Baker County had a devastating wildfire. One of the ranchers out there, he got on his cap. There were no federal resources that were out there fighting that fire. He got on his tractor and he started cutting fire line. The one person he interacted with from the federal government was a law enforcement officer for Bureau of Land Management who threatened to arrest him for destruction of public lands because he was cutting a fire break to protect his ranch. And his statement, he goes, why do I have to wait until that comes onto my ranch land and destroys my ranch land when you have no resources here? You, the federal government, should be doing this, and they weren't. So that's what's going on. You don't have anybody out there fighting it. You don't have them working with the local community, but they send out a law enforcement officer and threaten the guy with arrest for trying to protect his land. Same thing the Hammonds did. The Hammonds went out and lit backfires. Now, when you think about this, when they lit the backfires, they were protecting their ranch land from being burned over. They were protecting their livelihood, the ability to produce. 139 acres, 5 years in prison. They had a situation, and you know, you have to look at malicious intent. There was nothing malicious about what they did. They were trying to protect their land and their property. Warm Springs, 2 years ago, they had the Warm Springs fire. It was maliciously set by an individual because her friends were firefighters sitting around bored with nothing to do. She intentionally started an arson start, 30,000 acres burned. She was sentenced to 18 months in prison. Here the Hammonds had 139 acres and were protecting their ranch from a BLM lit fire, and they get 5 years.
Well, I bet you $5 that there wasn't uranium over there in Warm Springs that was trying to be sold to the Russians. And a global criminal organization involved in trying to steal their land. I mean, good.
Well,
great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Exactly. I mean,
both of those were prosecuted apparently out of the same office in Eugene. So,
what's the difference?
What's the difference?
Hey, who's the sheriff appointed by up there? I mean, I thought all sheriffs at the county level were elected, but evidently I'm hearing that the sheriff is not elected up in those in that area. Who appoints them? The governor? Do you know?
No. What occurred is the former sheriff, when the Hammonds were sent back to prison, he resigned/retired. And so he appointed Dave Ward to continue as sheriff. And
oh, the sheriff is elected, though. I mean, there's elections coming up then. I see.
Yeah, that election will be taking place this coming November. It's expected Dave Ward will not continue as sheriff. Dave Ward is going to be lucky if he continue to live in Harney County with his atrocious conduct. I mean, that's one of the other things is when we spoke with him, we tried to get him to speak with former Sheriff Gilbertson, Sheriff Palmer, real sound constitutional sheriffs that have fought these issues with the BLM, with the Forest Service, and exercise the authority of a sheriff. The sheriff, as being the chief law enforcement officer of the county, is a very strong position. And The only way the federal government can come into that county and do what they're doing today is because Sheriff Ward gave him permission to. He could have simply said, nope, this is a county issue, we'll deal with it, thank you, but no thank you. And that would have been the end of it. But he opened the door and welcomed him in. It's become evident that the federal government has been running that investigation for the long term. They've been the ones acting out there. I mean, we've documented over 200 federal vehicles in Harney County, in Burns. They literally have a standing army out there, which elevates concerns about them trying to take some type of action. I mean, the statement's been there are no more free Wacos. You know,
well, how good of a grasp do you think the federal government understands that if there is a violent action taken against the people in the Malheur Reserve, that there absolutely will be a response?
I believe those on the ground locally absolutely do understand that, and they're the ones that are saying they want this peacefully resolved. The ones in Washington, D.C., clueless. They don't get it. They don't understand.
Yeah.
And those are the ones that are sending the direction down. I mean, the PPN, we've been out there doing hearts and minds and winning over and talking. You know, we've interacted with law enforcement. We've interacted with the FBI.
Fantastic.
I mean, talking with them face-to-face, these are good people doing their jobs. They have families, they have lives, and they're where they should be. Working within the community, talking with everybody, understanding, people are becoming less fearful. The one statement that seems to come out is they're not fearful of the people on the refuge. They're fearful of the guys in the courthouse and at the airport.
Yeah.
They are the only ones that have had a very overt display of weapons, of body armor, of kit. I mean, I went up to give them a single piece of paper on the Articles of Resolution to try and get all sides talking, and we were met with 25, 30 fully tacked out guys, long guns, everything. I mean, they actually stacked on a building. They drew down on some of our people, then realized they were unarmed. So, you know, there's a misperception as to who we are, what we are, and what we're doing. I mean, today in America, if you stand up for a constitutional value and you do a nonviolent occupation or protest, you're met with overwhelming and intimidating. It's intimidating force. It's too bad. It's a detachment that the federal government doesn't understand values here in the West. They don't know what's going on. They don't understand the frustration. You know, when you go into any metropolitan area, I mean, after the governor completely handed everything over to the feds, she then went on to advocate for the minimum wage in Portland to be asked to raise to $15.57. Why is the governor involved in that? She wants that to hit Portland, but she's completely out of touch with the rest of the state of Oregon.
Okay, and with that, Joe, we're going to have to go to a break, but if you want to hang tight, we'll come back on the other side and continue this conversation. If you have a question or comment, call in at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460, Community Radio for the North State.
I used to love this town and this neighborhood. The streets were safe. The schools were good. The mill was humming 24/7. I was farming on the line 3 to 11. But 18 months and 2 days ago, the mill closed down and moved to Mexico.
Petroleum Company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank Mews with Northern Lights Energy. Happy New Year's. Kathy says we got more heaters coming in, and Johnny's been doing a lot of estimates and installs every day. So if you're tired of being cold, give us a call. Toyotomi Kerosene Heaters and On-Demand Hot Water Heaters. We also have a few used heaters for sale with great warranties. Danny's got the delivery trucks working every day, so check your tanks and give us a call. Northern Lights Energy. If you're tired of talking to answering machines and never getting your deliveries on time, give us a call. We don't have a salesman. We just have a lot of warm, happy customers. In Corning, see Robin. In Weaverville, see Joe. In Redding, see Cody. He's the propane king. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Are you ready for cage fights at Wind River Resort and Casino?
The best place in Northern California to offer MMA cage fighting.
Fight Night 33. This intense, action-packed night is presented by Wind River Resort and Casino and Rogue Fights. Extreme mixed martial arts cage fighting at the event center. On Saturday, January 30th at 7:30, it's in the cage. Full contact fighting, no limits. Bringing you another night of an extreme fighting ready. Amateur title and pro fights. This event sells out. Get your tickets now. Up to 12 bouts of MMA in the cage on Saturday, January 30th. The event center will roar with the thrill of the extreme cage fights Wind River Resort and Casino is bringing you. Don't miss this event. Get your tickets now online or at the River Club. Great entertainment is happening with Fight Night 33 at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Must be 21 to attend this extreme event.
For details or to reserve a room in our luxurious hotel,
call 1-800-280-UWIN
or log on to WinRiver.com. Cage fights are better at the River.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, grocery, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, 299 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
This is Carl and Linda Bott. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, your talk radio station. On Monday, we welcome Shelley Gibbs of CareNet. Find out the battle that the pro-life counseling centers are having with the state. Why have they taken sides? Find out Monday right here at Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Where there's a whip, there's a way. Where there's a whip, there's a way. Where there's a whip,
we don't want to go to war today.
Where
but the Lord of the
Back on, huh? Holy cow, we've got so many things going here. We're doing different. We got 5 minutes left.
Yeah, everything's coming in.
Everything's coming
time.
At us at the same time here, and we wanted to keep Joe on because this is such good information to get out there for everybody to hear. That, and I've got a whole bunch of other economic stuff that might have to wait till next week. But
it's going to have to. You're down to about
down
6 minutes,
wire, but,
you know.
But let's hope the economy waits till next
week.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure that we got a real problem in the economy. We got a little dead cat bounce going on a global meltdown, and this is all going to come to fruition. Boy, it just seems like it's all coming to a head at the same time, doesn't it, Joe?
It does. I mean, yeah, it absolutely does. I think 2016 is going to be a deciding year for our nation.
I agree. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. You know, maybe we can. Let's just, can we maybe cue that up, Bob? Maybe we can get this 2 minute Greenspan clip in.
Before we go to that, I want to thank Joe, just in case we run out of time. And thank you so much for coming on and giving us all the good information and letting us know what's going on and what's really happening up there in Oregon. We appreciate it.
Started at 12, Bob.
And I wanted to throw in real quick, too. Thank you, Joe, for everything you and PPP or PPN and the 3%ers are doing up there for the Constitution. We're hoping to see maybe you and Jeff and Tracy Roberts and some of you down here in February about getting a group going maybe for Jefferson. And looking forward to working with you guys to make that happen. And, again, thank you for putting yourself there. It means a lot to a lot of us.
Yeah. And if there's any way we can help you guys out, let us know in the future of getting information out or anything. Please give us a call or get a hold of Red.
I definitely will. And I appreciate the support, you know, it just, my motivation is I have a 10-year-old daughter, and I know today she will not enjoy the freedoms and liberties I had when I was 10.
Boy, ain't that
and
the truth.
Yeah.
We cannot be there as a nation. That's not what America is about.
Absolutely. Listen, we're running out of time. Go ahead and play the clip right now, and then, hey, we'll talk to you soon, Joe. Take care. Godspeed.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. We can't argue that we're extremely overvalued in the marketplace, yet leveraged types of toxic assets. We have a very serious problem, as 2008 and 1929 showed us. Gold is a currency. It is still, by all evidences, the premier currency, where no fiat currency, including the dollar, can match it. And so that the issue is, if you're looking at a question of turmoil, you will find, as we always have in the past, it moves into the gold price. But the gold price is actually sort of half a commodity price. So when the economy is weakening, it goes down like copper. But it's also got a monetary characteristic which is intrinsic. It's not inbred into human beings. I cannot conceive of any mechanism by which you could say that, but it behaves as though it is. Intrinsic currencies like gold and silver, for example, are acceptable without a third-party guarantee. And, I mean, for example, at the end of World War II, or just at the end of it, Germany could not import goods without payment in gold. The person who shipped the goods in would accept the gold and didn't care if there's any credit extended associated with it. That is a very rare phenomenon. It's the reason why, for example, in a renewal of an agreement that the central banks have made, European central banks, I believe, about allocating their gold sales, which occurred when gold prices were falling down, that has been renewed this year with a statement that gold serves a very important place in monetary reserves. And the question is, why do central banks put money into an asset which has no rate of return, but cost of storage and insurance and everything else like that? Why are they doing that? If you look at the data, with a very few exceptions, all of the developed countries have gold reserves.
Yeah, that's Alan Greenspan. Gee, I wonder why they all end up moving into precious metals in times of turmoil. Yeah.
Not that they would
move
something.
Maybe that, you know, you should take that as a warning from a central banker. So anyway, you know, we're at the end of the show here, and we've covered everything. Now, we've got more that we can always cover, and we wish we could get to it all, but it's just there's just too much out there, and things are moving at 100 miles an hour.
Don't forget to get out to the tea party. We have San Paredes this Monday at 6 p.m., so come out and see and get some
very
more
good
information.
You're born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, our amateurs built the Ark, and professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties.
And this is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. Residents up and down the East Coast are starting to dig out from the big blizzard. Correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
New York City has lifted travel bans a day after the city received more than 2 feet of snow. Baltimore has also lifted its travel ban, though some restrictions remain in place. The sun is shining here in the nation's capital, but mass transit remains shut down, and the Dulles and Reagan National Airports are expected to remain closed. Greg Clugston, Washington.
A 23-year-old New Jersey woman and her year-old son have died of carbon monoxide poisoning while sitting in a running car with its tailpipe covered in snow. Passaic police also say that the woman's 3-year-old daughter is hospitalized in very critical condition. Authorities say that the woman's husband had been shoveling snow for about 20 minutes last evening when he returned to the car and found his family unresponsive.
Are you right? You got enough room over there?
Enough room.
We got you. We ain't gonna let you hit the
For all the New Yorkers facing the task of digging their parked cars out from